tell me from a different school, too many cooks in there. That because I said, you know, how would you look at Notre Dame, Michigan? And he said, from afar, I would say too many cooks in there as far as trying to make the recipe on offense, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Sometimes that can be the case, right? It's kind of like a two quarterback system. I don't really know anyone who can make that work. And maybe that's the case too with play calling. It seems like that eventually comes to an end. Even at TCU, for example, Sonny Cumbie, Doug Meacham, they kind of had a nice run there with Gary Patterson for a while, but eventually there was a breakup. So it seems like it's just hard to make it work because it's such a ego driven. And ultimately I think, you know, when
you're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON sports presentation. It's high school football on a Friday night from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. It's the Athletic Hall of Fame night as the Vintage Crushers of Napa host the Bells from Bellarmine College Prep in San Jose. It's high school football on a Friday. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation. JV game went rather quickly, and we're expecting probably the same from varsity action. I'm Ira C. Smith, and our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. Joining us tonight on the broadcast with his excellent color commentary, a former player, a former coach, and now in the car business, but Kent Fry, just always nice to see your smiling face here at the football field at Memorial Stadium.
And it's great to be here, Ira C. I just love it. You know, Friday nights, Ira, you just can't get away from it. Friday night football has to be the best. I love college football, as you well know. But Friday night football means high school football, and that's where it's at. That's where it all begins. And what a great game to come to, Ira, as we have the Vintage Hall of Fame football game with the Hall of Fame dinner tonight, or tomorrow night, excuse me, and the inductees being honored tonight. And some of those inductees, Ira, are former players and, of course, former players and coaches that I played against and coached with, and I just love it.
One of whom is John Connor, who is back here for the first time in quite a while.
John Connor, or we call him JC, graduated in 1976. And was an all-standout, all-star center for the Vintage Crushers. And what a good one he was. And a well-deserved honor for JC being inducted tomorrow night. And he came all the way from New Mexico to be here tonight. So it's great to have him. We got to visit with him earlier today, Ira, and it was just great to rehash old coaching stuff.
I'll tell you, you guys accomplished a lot getting John to leave New Mexico.
Yeah, I tell you, we did. Because, you know, he didn't like to come back to California, you know that. So too much traffic here for him. And it was great to see him. I can't wait to see him tomorrow night, of course, and along with the other inductees, Ira. And what a game tonight. They're going to be honored tonight as well.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to it.
We'll tell you about the other seven to be inducted tomorrow night at the dinner who will be honored here tonight before the opening kickoff. Also, joining us on the broadcast, Dino Alessio with his excellence in statistical category, and our engineer this year, Angelo Lyons.
You know, Rookie of the Year goes to Angelo, no doubt about it. First year in the job in engineering, handling not only our game, but the Justin Siena game as well over on the FM station. And great job, Angelo.
And let's take a closer look now at the inductees into the Vintage Hall of Fame that will go in tomorrow night, one of whom will be introduced by Kent Fry.
Well, that would be Justin Dragoo, who graduated in 89 or 90.
You got till tomorrow night to figure that out.
Yeah, I got till tomorrow night. I know he played for us in 88 and 89 and so forth, but boy, what a story about Justin Dragoo. And, you know, what an exceptional athlete, and went on to Arizona State, became team captain of Arizona State, and went on to work for IBM, and you know, president of a winery, and now of all things, one of the original, not the original, but one of the founders that took over the Bottle Rock Productions, and Latitude 38, Ira, is their group, along with two of his classmates, David Graham and Jason Scroggins, and boy, are they successful, I tell you. And you know who else was in that class, Ira? John Trichard of J&M Sellers, John Anthony Winery and Vineyards, another successful story there. Great group of guys, great group of guys.
And the guy that I remember in my first year to broadcast Crusher football was in 1976. And the fullback was named Paul Schreiner. And he took kind of second place to a guy named Craig Landis. But Schreiner, in his own right, was an outstanding football player and opened up so many holes for Landis to go through.
Outstanding is unbelievable how good he was and how tough Paul Schreiner
tough
was
guy.
At that fullback position. Reminded me of, I'm dating myself, but for those true 49er fans, a Paul Hofer of the 49ers. Just a great fullback who could block, who could run. His legs were always moving. Paul Schreiner is one tough nut to crack, I'm telling you.
Then earlier on, there was a guy named Steve McConnell.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Steve was, what, 73, 74,
yeah.
73, I believe, 72 and 73.
Yeah, but not known so much for football.
Yeah, but basketball, you know, Ira, yeah, another great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just and there's some relationship there to the McConnells and the McCalls. And you know, every chance I get, Ira, to talk about Bruce McCall, I will, of course, you know. But, yeah, Steve, well-deserving of this award.
And on the distaff side, Judy Schaefer. And I'm not too familiar with her account.
I think Judy graduated in 76, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not quite sure. I don't know Judy back in school. But I think the committee's done a great job, as well-deserving as Judy is.
And Mary Sherwood McDonald. And we have Lonnie Spahn, Jr.
Lonnie Spahn, he played fullback. Football. He played football. And he was a wide receiver, defensive back. And he also ran track. He was an excellent track star. Back in his day, graduated in 1975. Good to see Lonnie. I can't wait to see him and speak to him.
Pete Zoffi.
What a golfer, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Pete.
Became a successful surgeon and, you know, has done real well in his life. Lives over there in Green Valley. Just done a great job.
Well, those are the folks that will be honored here tonight prior to the opening kickoff. And then tomorrow at the dinner will be inducted. And Kent Fry will be there to introduce Justin Dragoo while we'll be here at Memorial Stadium to broadcast Napa High football. The Napa football team will be hosting from San Francisco the team that they went and visited last year, the Archbishop Reardon Crusaders.
Now, Ira, I know you have someone taking my spot tomorrow. Who, you know, I know
it's a guy that was in a race with you at one time.
You know, he doesn't know a whole lot about football. I know this, you know, and so be patient with him and everything. But who's this rookie you're bringing in tomorrow night?
Let me think what his name was. He was at Napa High for a while.
Napa High. Let's see. Is he a Hall of Famer at Napa High?
Yeah.
You know what? That's right. Now it's coming back.
And at Solano College.
Was it Wayne State?
And Wayne State, too, yeah.
You mean, is it the infamous Troy Mott who's going to be taking my spot?
That's right.
Oh, I get it now, yeah. Troy. Troy doesn't know a whole lot about football, Ira, so be very patient with him.
Well, I'd hope that you'd have a chance to talk to him sometime.
Troy, I love you, good buddy.
Yeah, it'll be great having Troy. He was with us last Saturday night, and what a great job he does. He knows the school, he knows the players, and he really knows football.
He knows his football.
Yeah, indeed so. So we'll be happy to have him. And, of course, we're always happy when Dino Alessio gets those pencils out and puts them to the ledger.
Yep, I've got a lot of pencils ready tonight because I'm expecting a good, a wide-open game. I know both teams like to run the ball, but I think both teams will be able to run the ball successfully. So I'm expecting to see a lot of yardage, a lot of first downs, and some touchdowns tonight.
And a fast game probably, too, because both teams, as you alluded to, do like to run the football. I'll be back and tell you about our JV contest when we continue here from Memorial Stadium after this timeout. Here is Vince Campagno from Napa Nissan celebrating Napa Nissan's 50th anniversary.
My family is proud that Napa Nissan has been serving the Napa community for over 50 years and is still going strong. We started by selling Datsuns, and now Nissan has a full line of dependable and economical vehicles, from the all-electric Leaf to the new diesel Titan HD. We have it all. I give credit to my dedicated employees, including our friendly, knowledgeable sales staff and our award-winning service department, the best in the business.
Napa Nissan at 510 Soskal Avenue and NapaNissan.com.
Brighten your day the Napa Electric way.
Napa Community.
Well, in the JV contest, it was a speedy contest, but when it was all done and the winner was the Vintage Crushers. They go 4-0 in the JV ranks as neither team scored in the first quarter, but Vintage came back with a couple touchdowns in the second quarter and made a two-point conversion. And the final score was the Vintage Crusher JV's 36, Bellarmine JV's 0. So the Crushers, who won their opener against Wilsey Wood 34-7, then they beat Akalani's 27-18, and last week a win over Lincoln in Stockton, like 49-7 or something. So, Kent, they have been winning by quite a good margin.
And it's nice to know that your JV program is building, and definitely have a building program going on at the JV level, Ira, and that's got to make Coach Dylan Leach extremely happy that, you know, the program is being built. It is built, and at the freshman level and the JV level and so forth, they continue on.
Well, you know, 2 years ago, there were 61 on the roster for the freshman team at Vintage High. Those guys, of course, are juniors this year. Last year for Vintage, they had 80 on the varsity roster.
Yeah, and that just, you know, I give all the credit to Coach Dylan Leach on that, as coming in there as a new coach 3 years ago and just building that program up and getting the kids excited about football and the program and getting the kids to believe in the system and in the program. So, you know, hats off to Dylan Leach.
Let me tell you about the early touchdowns. Edgar Navarro scored in the second quarter for the first points in the game, and the kick was good by Tate Solis. And then the second touchdown was scored by the quarterback, Shidez, Bill Shidez, who, by the way, is one of the four captains for the JVs tonight. And then they went on and pulled ahead by a 36-0 count, and just did quite a bit of substituting error toward the fourth quarter and opening up that margin. The loss for Bellarmine is their third in a row. They lost to the team from Atherton. That was Menlo, 14-7. Last week, they lost to Clovis North, 12-0. So they go to 0-3. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the varsity action, as well as hearing from the coaches. And Kent, the coach for Bellarmine, which comes in with a 1-1 record, is Mike Janda. This is his 35th year as the head coach at Bellarmine. What a background he has.
Yeah, that's a long time to be at one program. Great job, Mike.
He had a record of 4-7 last year. They were only 2-5 in their league, which is the West Catholic Athletic League, which is a strong league. Sarah, Valley Christian, St. Francis, Sacred Heart Cathedral, St. Ignatius, Archbishop Mitty, along with Archbishop Reardon.
Yep. So, and Reardon will be here tomorrow night, Ira. So, yeah, that's a very tough league. They play in a tough league, and those teams are competing year in and year out.
Dylan Leach is in his third year as the head coach at the Vintage Crushers, as he had a record of 7-3 last year. They were 3-1 in the MEL, and they come in tonight with a 1-2 record. When we come back, we will hear from Mike Janda, as we mentioned, his 35th year as the head coach after this timeout. Okay, we won't take a timeout. We'll keep it rolling right here and find out a little more about these two teams, the Vintage Crushers of Napa, burgundy and gold, their school colors, will be outfitted in their burgundy jerseys with the gold football pants and the burgundy football helmet. They have those white socks, many of them with the tall socks. While the visitors coming in from Bellarmine, they're called the Bells, and their school colors are blue and white. They'll have white uniforms with the kind of navy blue numbers, and they have navy blue football helmets as well. So that gives you a little bit of background as far as what we see when we look out onto Memorial Stadium. And K Kent, the years go by so quick. This is the ninth year for football here at Memorial Stadium.
It's amazing, Ira. It just seems like it opened up just a year or two ago. And we've commented many, many times what a beautiful stadium and a beautiful venue it is. And, of course, I'm still partial to the old stadium. We know that. But as far as designing and implementing a new stadium, they did a great job.
Yeah. Just a site that the visitors comment to us each time that they really enjoy coming here. And we'll be hearing from Mike Janda and Dylan Leach when we return here on our countdown to kickoff after this.
Here is Janice Clifton from...
Welcome back here to Memorial Stadium. I'm Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry. We're getting set for tonight's opening kickoff. But to find out a little more about the opponents tonight, coming in from the San Jose area, Bellarmine, they're coached by Mike Janda in his 35th year.
Janda, first of all, congratulations on the success that you've had over 35 years as the head coach.
Well, thank you very much. It only tells me I'm getting old. Thanks for having us. This is a great venue here, a beautiful stadium. We have never come out here before. It's a great trip for us. We're looking forward to the game.
Where does Bellarmine play their home game?
We play at San Jose City College. The JVs and the freshmen play at school, but we don't have stands on campus, so we go to San Jose City College for our games.
What a year you had in 2015.
Yeah, 2015 was a special year for us. Set a school record for wins. Got all the way to the state finals, had the big game win against
Folsom.
Yeah, in an exciting way, and that was a real big, very important year for us.
Unfortunately, you've been hit hard by injuries this season.
Well, it's part of the game. We all know that, but we've definitely had our share of them this year, and it's time for the other guys to step up.
You have an 8-team league, and it's a pretty strong league.
That is correct. The WCAL is one of the stronger leagues, we feel, in all of Northern California.
What has the Bellarmine program been like? What do you concentrate on?
Well, our motto is hard work, play all the way until the whistle, give all your effort, and be a great teammate.
Have you used most of the type of offense that you're using this year in the past years?
Well, we've changed a bit. You always got to move a little bit to fit your personnel, and we've gone away from the double wing a little bit, though we still run it a lot. We spread it out a little bit more this year.
How have your special teams performed?
Well, we'd like them to do a lot better because we've had some problems with our special teams, and that's been one of our main emphases this week at practice.
Have many of your coaches been with you through the 35 years?
Well, what's amazing is that the four of us that are coaching this game right now have been together for 18 straight years.
Wow, that is something. And have you had players that have gone on from the Bells into the pro ranks?
Not right off. Not
Division One, probably.
Yeah, we've had quite a few Division One players, but no NFL guys.
Coach, nice to have you here, and good luck the balance of the season to Bellarmine.
Okay, thanks, and again, thanks for having us.
Okay, that was Mike Janda. As we mentioned, he is the head coach for the Bells. So, you think of a good Catholic name when the Bells of St. Mary's. We got the Bells of Bellarmine.
Yeah, that's right, Ira. The Bells of Bellarmine, and I tell you, 35 years at one program. That I don't care what program you're teaching at. That's tremendous. That's saying a lot about the program itself, right there.
Well, let's find out what Dylan Leach has to say. This is his third year as the head coach. He is the 8th football coach to lead the Vintage Crushers, and the only one to have played for Vintage.
That's right. He played for Vintage, and he coached over at Napa for a while. He coached at Vintage and went over to Napa, and now he's back as the head coach at Vintage. What a great player Dylan was, and just the perfect pick, to lead that team.
This is the 47th year for Vintage as a school, and so they have had very few coaches when you consider that length of time.
That's right. Yep, very few. Ira's right.
All right, well, let's find out what Dylan Leach has to say about tonight's contest.
Well, Coach, nice performance last week. Can you work off of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we made a lot of mistakes in the second half that we needed to clean up this week, and I felt we had a pretty decent week of practice, so hopefully we'll get that taken care of.
Seems like your young players are starting to come through now, including on the JV level.
Yeah, hey, the JV's playing great, right? They're 3-0, and they've been beating teams pretty good, so really happy to see that. And they've been doing that for consistently for a while, so I'm excited for them, and we have some young kids on at this level that are playing pretty good, too.
Final tune-up before league play. What are you looking for tonight?
Oh, just to compete against a well-oiled, disciplined play with pad level type of team, right? So we need to go out there and prove that we have discipline and that we can play with leverage and be great with our technique.
Does that include no turnovers and fewer penalties?
Yeah, I mean, penalties will get you. We've actually been pretty decent on the turnover level. I know the first game we obviously had the big bunch, but since then we've been good, so we'll hopefully try to keep that up.
How has the week of practice been?
Good. I think that they've been dedicated and focused. I think there's some lightheartedness with this team, which isn't always a bad thing, right? And so I think we have a good time with each other, and it kind of makes it easier to come to practice every day.
Seems like we're almost getting close to mid-season already. Any aches and pains?
Oh, yeah, that's the life, right? I mean, everyone's banged up, including the coaching staff, I think, but everyone's got a little dings here and there. And, you ice bath and you stretch and you roll and you try to take care of them the best possible.
Is the heat going to be any kind of factor, or is it going to be cool enough when game time rolls around?
Yeah, I mean, for the 7 o'clock game, we should be fine. I mean, everyone has to deal with it the same, and this is nothing new for late summer for us. This is what we deal with out here in Napa.
And is it going to be that way throughout the season, including the league games?
As far as the 7 o'clock start, yeah, but I'm not sure. I mean, obviously the weather's the weather, so we won't know that. But, we'll continue to do the processes of hydration and trying to nutrition well and take care of our bodies, and hopefully we'll be just fine.
One final question in that regard, the kicking game.
Yeah, a lot better. I mean, we've been doing a lot better. We've been much more consistent. And, the thing with us is there's 3 phases, right, or 4, right? You got to snap it right. You got to hold it right. You got to block right. And then you got to kick it right. So, I mean, there's that. But that game, I have all the confidence in the world. Those guys have been doing it for multiple years now. And we've always been good. Obviously, it had an effect on one game. And those are learning lessons. And hopefully we'll be good from here on out.
Okay, those are the comments of Dylan Leitz, the head football coach for the Vintage Crushers. You know, the cheer section for Vintage does a great job. When they were out on the field, I counted there are 25 members of the cheer squad, and that does not include their JVs, which would add up to another 15 or so on that, and they have one guy in the group, so you have to commend him.
Yeah, that's new for this year, I think. I've never seen a guy on the cheer squad for Vintage, so that's new. I know American Canyon has a guy in their cheer squad as well, so the cheer squad continues to grow as well, Ira, with the program.
Last night, the Vintage freshmen traveled to that new stadium in Vacaville at the Wilsey Wood High School. And, Kent, how did that turn out?
You know, the Vintage freshmen, a tough road win. Anytime you have to go up against Wilsey Wood, it's a tough test no matter what level you play at. And the Vintage freshmen went over there and came away with a victory of 35-22, I believe it was, Ira, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a great, great road win. That's great for the confidence, great for the program, and that's got to make everybody happy going over to tough Wilsey Wood and coming away with a victory.
Well, the Justin JVs had a victory tonight. They won fairly handily, which is interesting. Their score was almost identical to the score here in the JV game. Justin Siena's young Braves won 35-0, while here Vintage won 36-0.
Yeah, that is very comparable to each other. Wow.
Vintage made a two-point conversion on their attempt after the second touchdown, which gave them that one extra point in there.
I know Justin is facing the Hercules, if I'm not mistaken,
yep,
over there.
Correct. And so they'll be getting their varsity game underway shortly. And just mentioning one other thing about the JV team for Vintage, coached by Kyle Shue. This is the 12th year that Kyle has been the head coach for the JVs. And He misses his father. His father was one of his staunch supporters and would be at all the games and would be out there waving at his son and all. He passed away a little over a year ago, and I know that Kyle really misses him at the games.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it says a lot about the program when your JV coach is there for 12 years. You know, that's a good longevity and just a continuity within the program.
Taking a look at the Vine Valley Athletic League, the overall record is 5 wins and 16 losses for the league. Only two teams have a winning record, Justinson and Petaluma, each at 2-1. Vintage is 1-2, and the other four teams are all at 0-3. In fact, Sonoma Valley has only scored 7 points in three games, and they have given up 41 points. Napa, on the other hand, has allowed 169 points in their three losses, but they have scored 53 points. Justin Siena has scored the most points, 108 in their three games, and they have given up 42. Vintage High School Marching Band coming to the center, Memorial Stadium, so we're going to take time out, and we'll be back after the playing of the National Anthem as we get set for the kickoff from Memorial Stadium after this. Welcome back into Memorial Stadium. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith, as we're getting set for high school football action. The Vintage Crushers of Napa hosting the Bells from Bellarmine, the college prep school out of San Jose. And it's a great night for football, weather just about perfect.
Absolutely, Ira. You know, fall is definitely in the air, officially not here yet, but it is here. It's football weather. Got a little breeze blowing. Not crisp yet, Dino, but it's football weather.
I want to mention one observation that we had as they were ready to perform the national anthem. Coach Dylan Leach, who likes to come up into the booth and relate plays and all down to the sideline to his assistant coaches, came over to find his son and stood by his son.
Yeah, he's a family guy first and foremost, Ira, and definitely wanted to go give his kids a hug and kiss.
Yeah.
And You know, that's the way Dylan's always been. You know, he really has a family, team, you know, commitment, the whole works. And it's just a great guy, and what a great leadership program he's built, and he continues to grow.
Another guy that continues to grow is on the sideline that you allude to. Name is Bruce McCall.
You know, usually we have Eric Robinson here on the Vintage Games, and Eric's gone this week. So I had a time to visit with Bruce earlier this afternoon, and I told him I'd give him some good cheap shots as he hobbles out to the field with those knees of his. But Bruce is 44 years, Ira. Bruce McCall, Napa Valley Physical Therapy, has been taking care of these athletes in the Napa Valley. And Les Franco and I were talking. We have figured out there's 1,000 people a year that he treated in his clinic.
For
that's
free.
44,000 student athletes Napa Valley Physical Therapy has been given treatment to for free. What great community service.
Well, Dino, quickly, we just check with you on the toss.
So Vintage won the toss, elected to defer. So they're going to be kicking off, and they'll be defending the south goal in the first quarter.
Henry is back deep, and the kick is going to go way back and taken at the one-yard line, brought out to the 10, over to the left side, and then down he goes at about the 25-yard line.
Well, so, I thought the ball popped loose. I really, let's see. You know, Bellarmine recovered.
So they have possession at their own 25-yard line. Their quarterback is Harry Mingrone. He's a 6-foot, 160-pound senior. But they will use a variety of formations, as Kent Fry can tell us.
Well, Ira, the scouting reports, they'll come out in trips. They'll come out in doubles. They'll come out in a Cox box, which is double tights with two wings real tight, foot-to-foot splits, which is, I mean, it's just a very tight formation. So they throw a little bit of everything at you.
All right, as we mentioned, Mingrone, the quarterback, as they come out, they have...
There's your cock box, Ira.
Yeah. And quarterback in a kind of a pistol formation hands it off as they go to the left side with Henry carrying. Izon Henry is stopped, may have gained a yard, but not much more than that. The right side of the Crusher defense had the linebacker fill that hole right away.
Yeah, and that time they came out in the Cox box, which is, again, it's double tights, double wings set inside the tight ends with one back. And a lot of times they jump the one of the wing backs. The quarterback may carry. That time they gave to the fullback, or they may give it to the wing back. See if they come out in a spread formation this time.
Well, Luke Splain is in there at fullback, and Izon Henry, who carried on the last time, is also back there. Magri goes out wide to the left side, and they have a wide out to the right side as well. And Packard, and the quarterback is handing the ball off, and then right away the defense is there to converge on Henry.
Yeah, Villamale Schmatko from that Schmatko from that middle linebacker position, and then Jesus Galvin was there as well, Ira. Great defensive stops so far, and it makes it a third and nine here.
Well, possession play coming up already. Yeah, the linebackers have certainly filled those holes here early on. Yeah. So this is a big play early on. You hate to say that when you're just in the first minute and a half of the contest, but they are back at their own 26-yard line now, coming up on this third down. Split formation, two wides to the left, one to the right. Quarterback back to pass, looks, and he's in a little trouble, and his pass is complete to Anthony Magri, and he is going to be just short of a first down, it looks like. And that was on a third down pass. Magri, after he made the reception, was driven back by a nice defense.
Yeah, Ira, the Vintage came on the blitz that time, brought one man extra there to put pressure on that quarterback, made a nice completion, but as you alluded to, short of the first down, and Bellarmine's going to have to punt the ball here.
Michael Weber drops back to his own 40-yard line, and the punter, Andrew Schaefer, he does all their punting. He does their kickoffs. He's a six-foot junior. Back at his 20, gets the snap, starts to run to the ball, and his kick is just about Crusher dropped the ball, and it looks like Bellarmine may have recovered as the Crushers were trying to come in there, and Michael Weber tried to field the ball, and it slipped out of his hands.
Yeah, you know, Ira, Dino, you always have to help me out on the technicalities of this. I know he was on the ground when he tried to field that. Is that still considered a muff?
I would say so. I mean, it's a fumble if he gets possession and then loses it. And, of course, in this case, since he was on the ground, it would have been just a dead ball.
Well, he touched the ball. That made
right.
it live.
And that
he
made did. That's a muff.
If he did not touch the ball, it would not have been live, which off of the punt.
Which means if the defense, the kicking team, recovers, they can't advance it.
But turnover early against the Crushers, something that the coach wanted to stay away from. Mingrone takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's sacked back at the 48-yard line. Mingrove was greeted by two of the Crusher defenders.
Yeah, led by Angel Castillo, number eight there. Great job staying home, making sure that that quarterback doesn't get out of his grasp of playing the outside backer. A loss of two there, Ira.
Yeah, he was right up on that line and read that play really well. So it's going to be second down and 12 yards to go from the Crusher 48-yard line. Just underway here. No score in the game. 9 minutes to go in the first quarter. Double wides out either side. One set back there along with Mingrove. The quarterback drops back to pass. Looks to his left. Fires it over there. It's complete at the 40-yard line. He gets away from one would-be tackler. Matthew Pinelli holds onto the ball and may have gotten that first down on the second effort.
Well, now, I think he ran out of bounds.
You're right. They said he stepped out of bounds there on that little spin move that he had.
Michael Weber had him there, Ira, and he slipped out of Weber's grasp. Yeah. Weber's going to have to do a better job at making initial contact and then sustaining that contact to make the stop. Don't let him slip out like that.
Well, the Bells are probably in four-down territory now. They have the ball at the 39-yard line on third down and three to go. A high snap. Quarterback pulls it down, and his pass is way over the head and out of bounds. Anthony Magri was the intended receiver, but, well, out of his reach. He's 6 feet tall, and that sailed way over his reach.
So, Ira, here's another big call, fourth and three from their 39. Are they going to go for it or punt?
It's from the Crusher 39-yard line, and they're showing punt with Andrew Schaefer, the guy we told you that does all of their punting, dropping back into his own territory at the 46-yard line. Crushers send low back. There's a flag on the play as he gets the kick away, and it goes down, and it will go into the end zone, but there is a flag back near midfield. So going in there to retrieve the ball, cutter low. By the way, Cutter Lowe is getting a start at wide receiver tonight. He did not start the last time we were here at Camus Barrett in that slot. The penalty against the Bells is declined by the Crushers.
Ira, the kicker, Andrew Schaefer, showing from the British School of Vietnam there, and he's like a rugby kicker. He rolls to his right and kind of does a rugby kick on the punting game. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting that we have the junior high schools listed for the Bellarmine players, too, and they come from all around.
I mean, a great stance by the Vintage defense, guys. That's super.
Yeah. That one turnover then was not as costly as it could have been. The Crushers will have the ball on the touchback out to the 20-yard line for their first play from the line of scrimmage. A sophomore, Jacob Aaron, who is 5'11", 180-pounder, will be at the quarterback spot. Have Drew Hatfield, one of the running backs there. They also have Jesus Galvin that can be in there at different times. Right now, they have the quarterback under center there at the 20-yard line, putting man in motion from the right side. Hand off is to Shamkol, and Shamkol is getting about 2 or 3 yards. He took the ball out to the 25, but his knee hit back at about the 22-yard line.
Yeah, they brought the wingback, Avery Hall, over just to motioned over right above the center there, and they ran a quick trap with Avery Hall leading the way to Shamkol. Really got about nothing out. It looks like he got about 3 yards out of nothing there, Ivor. They had him stopped at the line of scrimmage.
They gave him a 2 yard advance of the football. So that'll put it at the 22-yard line as the Crushers use two wideouts to the left side, a wing over on the right side. Shamkol is the setback. Now they shift the wing into a setback, and the quarterback on the quarterback keep gets out to the 30, picks up a first down, the 35, and the sophomore is driven out of bounds in at about the 38-yard line. Nice read by Jacob Aaron.
Absolutely, Ira. He made a great read on that. Same play, a little reverse turnout, fake the handoff to Shamkol, made the read, and kept the ball in the option plays. That was a nice little counter option.
16-yard pickup. And the Crushers at their own 38-yard line get a first down. Inside of 8 minutes to go, there's no score in our ball game here from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Coming out wide left is Billy Birdsall, tight end on the right side. They have a full house in the backfield. They fake to Shamkol, and the give is to Hatfield. Hatfield around the right side, tripped up as he gets close to the 45-yard line, just shy of the 45.
Coach Leach pulling out some new plays here. That's off the belly series there. Fake to the first man, give to the second man through. Nice little play call of Coach Leach.
Billy Birdsall will be in there on this next play, coming in that huddle. The center, Jack Odell, centered the team last year as a sophomore. He's only about 5'8", 235, but an outstanding center there, just a junior now. And a counter play, and they get the first down, and then some across midfield, and then tripped up, but diving forward is Hatfield, and he gets inside of the 45-yard line of the Bells.
Yeah, same play as before there, Ira, just at a different side here, ran it to the left side this time. Full house backfield, fake to the first guy, give to the second off the belly series. Great little play.
And a 12-yard pickup for the Crushers. They have the ball at the 44-yard line in Bell's territory at the Bellarmine 44-yard line. Wide out left, tight end right, full house backfield. And the quarterback on the counter gives to Hatfield again. Same play, off right tackle, gets to the 40. They need to get down to the 34-yard line for a first down. And they picked up about 4 yards on that play. The ball is at the 40-yard line.
Absolutely. Coach Leach knows what's working, and he's going to stick with it until they stop it there, Ira. That's three belly series in a row off that full house backfield look, and it's working.
Well, we'll watch and see Shamkol. They handed off to Shamkol on one play, but he is the setback right behind quarterback Jacob Aaron, who takes the snap, and the counter again as they try to go up off of left tackle that time, and they get about the 37-yard line.
Yep.
Yeah, that time they tried something a little different, handing the ball off to Jesus Galvin.
Yeah, a little cross action, X cross backfield motion there where the fullback goes to the right, tailback comes back to the left. Gain of a couple there. Are going to be a long third and call it four.
Well, they're in four down territory, I would think, though. So they would probably not punt, although the Bellarmine team did punt when they were in a similar situation. But let's see what this third down tells now from the 38-yard line as Aaron gives the ball to Shemko, and he goes straight ahead and is going to be close to the first down. I think he's going to be just a little shy, but they'll have to unpile, and we'll figure that out as they determine the forward progress of Viliami Shemko.
Yeah, Ira, it looks like he's about a foot short, and you know Coach Leach is going to go for this.
Yeah.
Fourth and about a foot, he's going for it. Look for a quarterback keep or give it to Shemko.
Well, you're inside the 35-yard line. Fourth down now. And you've got the power behind Shemko and that line that can open up for him. Let's see what route they elect to go. They give to Shemko. He powers ahead, and he got just about a yard, and that's all he needed. But he got the ball to the 30, inside the 34-yard line, which should have been enough for a first down. Not much more than that, though.
Nope. I think he made it by about a half a yard.
So it's first down, 10 yards to go for the Vintage Crushers. They are in Bellarmine territory now, close inside of the 34-yard line. Just over 4 minutes to go, first quarter, no score in our game here from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as the Vintage Crushers employ a trip set, three wide out to the left side this time. They're going to have a wing over on the right, also shifting over to the left side now is Castillo. And the quarterback hands off. They work a sweep play to the left, cutting in at the 30 and being forced out of bounds was Michael Weber. Weber went out of bounds right around the 29-yard line, it looked like.
Yeah, Weber did that all on his own. Whiteout missed the block out there on the perimeter. Weber was able to still turn the corner, get a good pickup of 5 to 6 yards there.
Picked up half of the necessary 10 yards for another first down. Inside of 4 minutes now to go here in the first quarter. We're going to have a quick game tonight because both of these teams are running teams.
Yeah, they like to run the ball.
Double wide, Shemko is the only setback here with the quarterback, and the quarterback on the read option keeps the ball. He gets inside the 25, and he's hit, boom, hit again and again at the 22-yard line and goes down. Well, he took a little bit of a punishment on that, but held on to the football and takes it for a first down of the 22. Well, the automatic adjustment has been taken care of, and so we hear back here at the 22-yard line as Aaron on the option. He keeps the ball again. He gets inside the 20 down to the 15-yard line. Flag on the play.
Yeah, I read that same play, kind of just a lead fullback with the read option, with the quarterback having the option to either pitch or follow up. By the time we get a flag, let's see what it is.
I'm sorry, Dino, you were saying something when we were having that technical adjustment.
I didn't hear that in my headphones, so I was not aware. I was just mentioning that the Crushers had already picked up four rushing first downs on this drive, and that last play, which unfortunately is being called back on a penalty, would have been their 11th play of this drive already.
Okay, well, we'll give you the names of the officials when we have the chance. John Little is the referee. And the back judge, Kent, is from the NCAA, Jason Castro.
Okay.
He officiates college games, so it's nice to have him here for our high school game tonight. Here's a wing to the left, slot to the right, single setback, but a whistle and a timeout asked for by the Vintage Crushers. So we're inside of 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Scoreless thus far. Crusher's trying to put the drive together, and we'll be back to see how that works out after this. Now at Memorial Stadium, just inside of 3 minutes remaining here in this first quarter as the Crusher's had cutter low out wide to the right side, and they have a wing on the left side, Bryce Eed. And Shemko is the setback, slot right side. Quarterback Jacob Aaron checks the defense. Under center, now takes a snap, rolls out, looks, fires down the right side. He had a man open and overshot him. Oh, Hatfield was going down that right sideline, and Or the check it, that was brother Kyle Dandini.
That's Michael Weber.
Weber. Yeah, that's it.
What's called the wheelwright, where the outside receiver runs the post and the slot receiver just runs a sideline and up, and he was wide open, and Jacob Aaron just missed the target there, needed to take his time. But look for Coach Leach to come out that again.
Yeah, that was on a first down play. They have to get all the way down inside the 15-yard line, about the 13-yard line for a first down, and they're back at their own 33-yard line. So they've got 20 yards to go, and they're using double wides to the right, wing to the left. Shamko, the setback. Hatfield goes in motion. Quarterback rolls out to his right, sets, fire, and it's complete to the 25-yard line, and then Hatfield is hit and goes out of bounds, stopping the clock. 2:40 to go here in the scoreless first quarter.
And that's a good play, Ira. They picked up 8 yards or so of that 20 that they need. So, and again, they're in four-down territory, as you said so before. So they still don't, you know, it's third and 13, but they don't have to get it all here at one time.
Jesus Galvin is back in there now at one of the running back positions. Jacob Barron, 5'11", 180-pound sophomore, has the play from the sideline. And we'll use a trip set out left side this time. And Weber over on the right side, shifting Castillo over to the left side, putting Weber in motion, going to the left and rolling out to his left is the quarterback. He lobs it towards the end zone. Touchdown, Weber! On the run, not breaking stride, running right under the pass, carrying it into the end zone. Touchdown, Vinny!
Nice ball by Jacob Aaron. Again, I told you Coach Leach would come back to that wheel right. That time they ran three trips, trips to the left, ran all slants and posts. Weber was in motion from the right and ran the wheel right, and he was wide open. Beautiful ball, beautiful catch, great execution.
Well, they're going to line up in the ice pick, although I doubt if they use it, they may. But they have a pretty good kicker in Eddie Gonzalez. They don't have Eddie out there yet. They do have Shemko there, but as they say, they're lining up in the water pick. They think that perhaps the West Catholic Athletic League is not that familiar with this, but that's right. What the Christians are going
to
do.
I look for them to go for it, Ira. They're outmanned. They're outmanned and Bellerman on the right-hand side.
All right, we'll see if the play goes to the right. Weber takes the snap, rolls out, and there is a whistle and a flag drop there back in the end zone. Illegal motion, I think, yeah. Illegal movement by the Crushers. Getting a little anxious there on the water pick play.
That's too bad because they had it there, Ira. They had men on one on the right-hand side. You would have had the option to pitch or keep the ball.
Well, now they may kick. We'll see, since they are losing. Well, now, wait a minute. They're spotting the ball back here at the 1 yard line instead of at the 3 yard line.
So that was against Bellerman. Coach Leach is going to run a design play here.
Well, I thought the signal was the arm waving up now, which was the indication that it would have been against the Crushers, but not so. It's against Bellerman. So now the Crushers are changing. They're coming out in their regular set, but they're going to take a timeout before they try this two-point conversion.
Not good, Ira, when you have to take a timeout on an extra point. That's going to frustrate Coach Leach. That'll be addressed in a coach's meeting right there.
Well, as you say, Coach Leach will have an input because he is right beside you in the booth next to us.
You know, it's interesting. He coaches from the box up here, and he's right on the other side of the window right next to me. And, you know, I'm not peeking over looking at the play calls or anything. I'm behaving myself along that line, but as much as I want to. You know, having coached with Dylan for years and as a player and then as a fellow coach, I know what he's thinking, and I'm sure he did not like this setup on the extra point and therefore had to burn a timeout, which you do not want to do on an extra point.
So, Kent, Ira, that scoring drive for the Crushers, a terrific drive, 80 yards, taking 13 plays, and they took 6 minutes and 48 seconds off the clock. Excellent possession ball control drive.
Okay, well, we've got Jesus Galvin in the backfield. They've got Shamko is back here in Hatfield and the full house backfield. And the quarterback, Aaron, gives the Shemko. It goes over right tackle, tries to power his way in. I don't think he made it, but there is no signal given anyway. And the Crushers fell short by inches of getting that ball into the end zone.
Yeah, and that's going to frustrate Coach Leach. 1 yard out, Iron, you can't punch it in for a two-point conversion. That could come back and, you know, bite you big time. So, again, Coach Leach not happy with the extra point conversion here.
Yeah, they're talking with Jack O'Dell. They're one of the coaches as far as the situation there that developed. They have Mosqueda is in there to tackle Irwin and Medina been at the guards. Arroyo at a tackle. We're inside of 2 minutes to go here in this, the first quarter of play. Right now it's 6-0 as Vintage has scored first, but missed on a two-point conversion try. It was interesting that the JVs, they had scored and kicked the extra point on the first to get on the scoreboard, and then they got another touchdown. They went for two and got that, too. They looked very good tonight in their fourth straight win. All right, here comes the kick now by the Crushers, and it booms back into inside the 5-yard line, brought right back out down the middle across 20, 25, and almost got away there at the 30-yard line, as it was Adam Hayashi. Hayashi is only about 5'4", at least that's what he's listed. Looked to be a little bigger there as he was running that football back.
Good tackle by Josh Roberts there, and it's a good thing he made that tackle because he was gone. Iaki was gone if he hadn't made that tackle. Vintage is going to have to do a better job, Ira, on special team coverage.
From the 33-yard line, their own 33, it's first down. Harry Mingrone, the quarterback, with a double wing formation, put the left wing in motion. He'll take the pitch, and he gets across the 35-yard line. That was Izon Henry.
Shopko came in up from the stop from that middle backer out of that Cox box. They call that COXBOX, Cox box. So again, it's double tights, wings inside the tights with one fullback. And it's just a tight formation and fullback. Quarterback's leading up on the play. That time they gave to the wingback.
And it is a pickup of 3 yards on the play. So it's from their own 36-yard line, this next play. And again, it's a tight formation with the double wing. And they'll put a wing in motion. And that's from the left side again. Fake handoff, play action. Quarterback back to pass. Running out of the pocket now. Being pursued and just firing the ball into the turf. He did have a man in that general vicinity as Ben Richards was about 10 yards farther down the field.
Just great coverage by the Vintage secondary there, Ira. They had everybody covered up.
And the defensive front seems to be doing a great job of handling and getting good pressure on the quarterback.
Well, we're at the one-minute mark now in the first quarter, 6-0. Vintage has the lead. Bellarmine with the football at their own 36-yard line on a possession-type play coming now on third down and 7 to go. Double wides either side. Single setback as quarterback goes into a shotgun formation, takes a snap, looks to his right. His pass is incomplete, intended for Pinelli. Defense over there very nicely by Angel Castillo.
Yeah, great defense by the Vintage Crushers, Ira. I'm really impressed with their defense tonight. Forcing Bellarmine to punt again, Ira.
And forcing him to the air, too. Yeah. That is one of the things, because their strength has been in their running game. But they use a variety of formations as well. So it's going to be Andrew Schaefer dropping back inside of his 25-yard line. Weber drops back inside of his 40-yard line to receive. Bad snap, but he gets it up and just gets it away, but it's a bad punt. But it takes a fairly good Bell's kick after it hit midfield and goes about another 5 yards to the 45-yard line of Vintage.
Bad snap, Ira, on the low, and the kicker did a good job at fielding it. But Josh Roberts came in and actually got a piece of that, Ira.
So good field position presenting itself now for the Vintage Crushers.
Only 19 yards on that punt.
And no return.
Credit Josh Roberts on that.
Last week, Vintage had a victory over a good Lincoln team in Stockton, 26-21. They had an excellent first half in that game. And the defense is turning in a good performance here in the first half so far in this game. We're inside of a minute to go in the quarter. Shamkel is the lone setback there. Aaron gets the snap, looks. His crossing pat is good. They had a slant coming in, and the pass was complete to Joshua Robert.
Right, Josh coming out of that slot position, running a little inside slant. Good pickup of 9 yards there, Ira. Coach Leach showing something different on first down.
Well, they need to get to the 45-yard line. They're going to spot it back out at 47.
Vintage looking to score again, Ira, as they're up 6-0 here in this first quarter. They're looking to score again.
They'll have a chance for another play, and if it's not a pass play, why, that'll probably run out the clock here at the first quarter. Vintage ahead, 6-0. Wide outs on either side. And Aaron takes the snap, and there is a whistle. He just was ready to hand the ball off to Mo Castro.
Vintage called another timeout there, Ira.
That is their final timeout here in the first half, and we're not even at the end of the first quarter. We've got 4 seconds to go in the first quarter, and the Crushers have spent their allotment of timeouts for the first half.
So, Ira, that makes you think, you know, was it the miscommunication between, you know, the head coach up here down to the field? Makes it a little bit difficult when you're coaching from the box, making sure the right formation is in and the play call.
But you can see the field so much better.
You can. You can absolutely see the field better. And each coach has something different. You know, you just feel it when you see the field better. What you miss out is the actual, you know, eye contact with your players and, you know, encouraging them to get this done and that done. But there's a lot of different theories on it. And every one is correct. There's no right or wrong to it.
Interesting to hear about the electronics that Vintage has. I think they have 3 cameras that are operating, and they can see the plays as they develop with those cameras.
Yeah, technology's come so far.
Here's Jacob Aaron under center now. Final play of the first quarter. He keeps the ball on the option. He is brought down as he gets inside the 45, but that's all he needed to do to get the first down. And I'm almost positive they will give him the first down as the first quarter has come to an end. So here at Memorial Stadium, we are at the end of one quarter of play. And the score, the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 6. And the Bellarmine Bells from San Jose, 0. You're listening to KVON 1440. Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. And streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Dino Alessio with the stats.
So at the end of one quarter for the Crushers, 15 offensive plays, 100 yards, 5 first downs. For Bellarmine, 9 plays, 12 yards, and they have yet to make their first down of the game.
Trips out to the right side. The snap goes to running down the sideline is Michael Weber. He went on a sweep to the left side and then cut down the sideline. We'll see where he stepped out of bounds. I think right around the 40-yard line of the Bells. So it's going to be second down and just about 5 yards to go. So Weber picking up 5 yards on that carry. The quarterback, Jacob, was a quarterback on the JVs last year as a freshman, I think, was on that JV team. They have a freshman on this year's JV team as well. And he hands off, looking for a hole, is Jesus Galvin. He makes his own hole there and gets a few yards. We have the ball. It's going to be shy of a first down by about 3 yards. We're just underway in the second quarter here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. The Vintage Crushers on the attack, looking at third down. A long 2 or a short 3. I think your pick to go. Double wides come out right side, wing left side. Shemkel is the setback. Wingman goes in motion. And Shemkel, read option, and there's a flag on the play. As Aaron keeps the ball, and he is brought down as he gets to the 35-yard line. That was enough for a first down, but there was a flag.
Yeah, the execution just wasn't there. That's the first kind of stumble, if you might say, that Vintage had there, Ira. So that's going to back them up, I believe. Could be a hold. Let's see what they say.
It's like, illegal use of the hands there on the hold by the Crushers. So that's moving them back. They are in the Bells' territory, but that's taking them back another 10 yards. Puts it back at the 49-yard line.
So that's a big penalty there, Ira. Now it's going to be third and 14.
And they're making quite a few shifts out there on the offense. Castro is back into that backfield. He's a 5'5 junior. Not very big, but boy, he is powerful for a 145-pounder. Mauricio, they call him Mo. Trips out right side. Aaron back to pass, getting the right screen pass. Complete to Weber. Weber down the sideline, the 40, changes direction, starts to his right. He is in a bunch of traffic there, and he is driven way back there from the 40 back outside the 45-yard line. But there had been whistles right at the 40-yard line.
Yeah, another flag, Ira. And Weber just needs to keep running straight. He could have been short maybe by a yard or two, but he lost probably another 5 yards trying to scamper around.
Yep.
I know he's excited and everything, but you got to know you're down in distant situation here.
Penalty is going to go against the Bells. And it's an inadvertent grab of the face mask, the 5-yard variety instead of the longer 15-yard penalties. So that'll take it down to the 35-yard line. That is just, I don't know if it's even inches shy. It looks like that is enough for the first down, although the officials are saying it's third down and inches to go at the 35-yard line of Bellarmine. Quarterback may just keep the ball on this. No, he hands off to Hatfield. Hatfield on a little cross there at the line of scrimmage gets about 3 or 4 yards.
Absolutely. Vintage doing a good job at moving the ball here, Ira, all night long. They've only had the two penalties there to kind of mess them up there, if you will.
Yeah, that fumble was a bit costly right early on. They have recovered from that without giving up any points. Just over 10 minutes to go here in the first half, 6-0, Vintage ahead. And the Crushers have the football at the 32-yard line of Bellarmine on its first down. Aaron with the snap, hands off to Hatfield. Hatfield loses his footing and is kind of tripped up there as he tries to make his cut by Pinelli and goes down inside the 30 at the 29-yard line.
Yeah, it's going to bring up a 2nd and 7 here. 9.5 to go in the second. Ira, Vintage up 6-0. Coach Leach wants to get another score here.
And plenty of time yet here in the first half. The Crushers have no timeouts remaining here. Bellarmine with 3 timeouts remaining. Double wides out to the right. Shemkel is still in the backfield. And the quarterback keeps the ball again. He follows Shemkel through that opening and gets close to the 25-yard line. They have to get into the 23-yard line for a first down. Vintage heading toward that south end zone. Bit of a breeze. Could be somewhat of a factor blowing from the south end zone out to the north end zone. Been fairly stiff throughout this first half thus far, as we're inside of 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. Bertzall out to the left side, tight end on the right side, full house backfield. On the counterplay, it's Hatfield, and he gets inside the 20 where he is tripped up but picked up another first down, and the Crushers methodically are moving the ball.
And they're moving it on the ground, Ira. I know they scored on a pass play, but they're just pounding the ball. Great yardage each time. So you just got to give it to the Vintage Crushers.
All right, we'll find out now what the Crushers can do with the ball as they have it at the 19-yard line. Shotgun formation. Aaron hands it off to Shemkel. He gets inside the 15-yard line. Again, staying on the ground, keeping that clock moving.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear Dino's stats at halftime, because I bet they're averaging at least 4 or 5 yards a pop here, if not more, Ira. They're just pounding the ball on Bellarmine. Coach Leach is sticking with the counters, with the belly series, with the option reads, doing a great job.
I was just going to mention that Hatfield has come off the field now. He's been carrying on consecutive plays. They have Mo Castro back in there. He goes as one of the trip sets out to the side. They show blitz, and the quarterback keeps the ball. The 10 down to the 5. The 4 spins, but he's brought down there by Pinelli as he was trying to get into the end zone, but a nice read.
Absolutely. I tell you, a young quarterback there, Jacob Aaron, doing a great job making the proper reads on the option call, whether to give it to Shomko or pull the ball. And that time he made another great read. Pulled the ball and made good yardage for another first down, Ira.
Eight first downs for the Crushers, all on the ground, Kent.
Yeah, they're just rolling right now, pounding the ball.
Jacob Arum has them inside the five-yard line. It's first down, goal to go from the five, splitting a wide out to the left side. They have Aaron handing off to Shemko. Shemko puts his shoulder down and plows into the end zone. Just a little slant to the right, and Pinelli could not contain him, and he goes into the end zone for a touchdown. Shemko.
And Ira, he literally ran right over Matthew Pinelli, the defender. Little off tackle, drive play, and just literally
put
ran
that
right
shoulder
over.
Shoulder down and knocked him out of the way.
Yeah.
And goes into the end zone. Well, the Crushers, again, are showing water pick.
Yeah, let's see if Bellarmine can defend it. Last time it was there. Looks like it's there again, that they'll run the option to the right.
There's so many options off of this thing. It makes it so difficult. Weber's going to be receiving the snap. He gets it, and it's the same one they used before. And Weber is hit. He drops the football, and I don't think he made it in. He did not get into the end zone, and the football squirted into the end zone after he was hit.
Yeah.
So that means the Crushers go 0-for-2 on two-point conversion tries, and it means it's a timeout here with inside of 7 minutes to go in the first half. It is Vintage of Napa 12, Bellarmine of San Jose 0. We'll be back after this.
Have you thought about
go now? The Crushers getting set for another kickoff as they lead 12-0. Let's find out what happens during the balance of the 7 minutes here in the first half as the kick sails down inside the 20, going back to the 10, picked up at the 5-yard line. Starting down the right sideline goes Henry. Henry gets it out to the 25 and then is banged out of bounds. Goes down at about the 28-yard line, probably.
Again, Josh Roberts on that tackle. So he's all over the field on those special teams coverage. Good job, Josh Roberts.
Kent, Ira, that last drive, 12 plays, 55 yards, and they took another 5 minutes and 41 seconds off the clock. Terrific ball control offense.
Yeah, over 6 minutes the first drive.
And let's give credit to the Vintage defense, forcing Bellarmine to 3 downs and punt.
Mingrone is back to pass. He drops back. He sets. His pass is complete at the 33-yard line. And nice job of holding on to the ball as Pinelli was put in a vice. He had defenders coming in from either side of him. And, boom, they lowered the vice, tightened it up, and drop him at the 36-yard line. They have to get to the 38-yard line for a first down.
Just a nice square in by the slot receiver coming up. We're getting a nice 8-yard gain there. Plenty of protection there for the quarterback of Bellarmine.
And that was the biggest offensive play of the game so far for Bellarmine, their longest gain, 8 yards.
Mingrone, who is a senior, going into the passing formation as they have a tight formation there. And the high snap, and he hands it off, but not much there as the defense could react after the high snap. And the handoff went to Izon Henry, but he didn't have much of a chance to get much yardage there.
Ira, Vintage has done a great job of scouting Bellarmine because they're well prepared here for whatever formation they come out. And that was a third and two, and they've only gained about a yard, so it's going to be a long and third and one here.
Yeah, on the possession type, 5.5 minutes to go here in the second quarter, 12-0, Vintage in the lead. And they work from a shotgun formation. The quarterback's going to keep the ball. He makes a good spin, but it does not net him any yards. He spun away from one defender, but right into the arms of another, and Mingrone goes down.
Yeah, and Hatfield,
shy of a first down.
Hatfield made the top. Let's see what Bellarmine wants to come up with. Fourth and a long one, Ira. Vintage defense just playing outstanding tonight.
Yeah. Well, Justin is ahead at the end of the first quarter in their game, 6-0 in their contest over at Dodd Stadium. Vintage is ahead 12-0 here in the second quarter of their game. Double wing. One wing drops back, and they try to go ahead. They straight forward tried to pick up that
long yard, even though they were back deep in their own territory. And see where they spot the ball. It's going to be an important spot for the Bells. There's an injured player on the field.
Big Colton Fisher, defensive tackle, had him right at the line of scrimmage. I think the second effort might have given him spot. I can't quite tell.
Well, not where they spotted the ball. It looks like they did not make it from where that ball is situated right now.
Then you got to credit Colton Fisher.
Wait a minute. They're moving the sticks, but it would be first down regardless, but it would be Vintage's first down if they did not make it, Bellerman's first down if they did make it. So, well, it's showing it was Bellerman getting the first down, although it looked like where that ball is on the field, that might not be the true spot of the ball.
Ira, while we have a little break here, I just got to share with you, we had a little get-together with the old coaches at Vintage High from 2000-2006, and a lot of old coaches, Mark Coleman, Tim Tarner, Bruce McCall was there, Marty James was there. Just I had a good gathering this afternoon to honor Coach Connor, JC, who's getting inducted tonight. So it was a good reunion tonight. Coach Mike Hull, the Admiral, as we call them, Hulsey.
Miguel Ramos was the injured player, but it was a first down for the Bells. Quarterback again drops back to pass, and there's going to be pass interference called against the Crusaders, Michael Weber. He backed into the receiver ran into the receiver before the ball arrived.
Yeah, that's pretty blatant. Weber just got too eager there, just too eager. All he had to do is keep his hands off, he would have been right there.
Yep.
You know, Weber plays hard. He he's got to keep that middle game going as well, but he plays. He gives you 100%.
So we're inside of 4.5 minutes to go, and that personal foul on the Crushers takes the ball into Vintage territory. Is this the first time they've been in Crusher territory?
Yep, and they until two plays ago, they had not made a first down. Now they've had first downs on two consecutive plays.
Penalties. Penalties. Got them here.
Yep.
Well, they have wideouts this time now as the quarterback gives to the running back. He tries over right tackle. Nothing there for Izon Henry.
Colton Fisher again, Ira.
Yeah, we might mention that their strong running back, Tyson Garcia, he was leading the team offensively. He can run at the tailback, the slot back, or a wing back, and he's injured, so he is not suited up for tonight, and I know that they are missing Garcia. And in the scouting report, that's one that the coach alluded to. His number is number 10, but they are minus him tonight. Staying in the shotgun formation, Mingirl gets the ball and drops back to pass. He's running out of the pocket to his right, fakes the pass, runs to the 40, goes to the sideline, the 35, the 30, down to the 20, and steps out of bounds as he was forced over there by Cutter Lowe.
Vintage defense there had a little breakdown, you know, so when they see the quarterback breaking the pocket, coming up and it's going to start scampering, they need to come off the receiver and then make a tackle. Don't let him come by you like that.
31-yard gain on that play.
Joshua Robert comes in on the defense now for the Vintage Crushers. So the ball is at the 22-yard line for a first down for Bellerman. They have Magri over on the right side. Two wideouts on the left side. Mingrone again back to pass. Throws towards the end zone, and it's incomplete. Had double coverage back there on the intended receiver.
Yeah, they had Hatfield and Jacob Aaron both back there. Bellerman came out with four receivers set and ran all four with the inside receiver running a little corner pattern, and Hatfield and Aaron had it covered up good. Bellerman wants to get on the scoreboard here, Ira, with 3.5 to go in the half, 12-0 Vintage.
So it's second down from the Vintage 22-yard line. That last pass was intended for Matthew Pinelli. Pinelli in the backfield. Quarterback drops back to pass. And the ball is deflected away, and it's a loose ball there at the – and the Crushers think they have it. And they do at the 29-yard line. As the Vintage Crusher coming up with the ball was Jacob Bentner from the defensive back position.
And I think that was Zach Daniels, number 58, who got in there to just as the quarterback was getting back to throw, he's able to reach out and tap that ball loose. Zach Daniels on that causing that turnover.
Yeah, Jack, of course, last year's starting center as a sophomore. He's played some excellent football. His dad, Mike, is no longer coaching the football team, but he had been one of the assistant coaches for quite a while. So the Crushers take over back at their own 30-yard line with 3:24 to go in the first half, using trip set to the right side and a wide out. So it's empty backfield now, as the there was some movement by the Crushers, as Jesus Galvin made a little bit of a movement prior to the snap of the ball.
Yeah, I think they were trying to go back for the home run there off this play, off that turnover there. The play they scored the touchdown on with the trips, and they're all running slants with Weber coming in motion, running a wheel route. Inside receiver just jumped, like you said there, Ira.
So that takes the ball back to the 25-yard line. Well, the Crushers have not had many penalties here in the first half. Just the fourth penalty against them. You don't want those statistics to pile up. But it's first down and 15 yards to go after the false start. Walked off. Going wide left is Birdsall again with two wide outs to the right side. And Aaron on the read option keeps the ball again. Sidesteps one, and then he gets a very tough 3 yards on that play.
Yeah, not much there. Bellarmine starting to tighten up on defense here. They're starting to get this vintage offense down. Let's see what Coach Leach comes up here on this second and long here. He wants to hurry him up there, I know that.
Well, we'll see if Jacob Aaron elects to pass the ball. They are back fairly deep in their own territory there at the 27-yard line. They have to go all the way out to the 40-yard line, their own 40, to get the first down. And Jacob Aaron's in a shotgun formation. Gets the snap, rolls out to his right, getting good protection, lobs one down the sideline to Weber, and it's deflected away from Weber at the last moment there by Luke Splain, a six-foot senior.
Kent, I think he needed to put a little more zip on that.
Yeah, Jacob Aaron's patting himself, saying, that's on me, that's on me. He just didn't have enough zip, as you said there, Dino.
And gave the defender a chance to recover.
Yeah, and the defender didn't even know where the ball was. And same play, Dino. That's that wheel route off the trips look where they scored their touchdown. All three receivers running slant post with Weber coming in motion on the wheel. It was open. Ball just not delivered.
So this is a possession play coming for the Crushers now with 2.5 minutes to go till halftime, as Aaron drops back. He looked. Now he looks to his left. Now he's going to tuck the ball in. Now he is going to be getting into a lot of traffic, and he's going to be down after about a yard or two gain on the play. First he looked to the right, then he looked to the left, finding no one open, started to run with the ball, but then the defense started to collapse around him, and he was brought down after a short gain, bringing up fourth down.
Yeah, Ira, they're trying to set up a little screen, and the screen was just not set up, so Aaron did the proper thing, pulled the ball down, and just tried to get something out of nothing. Timeout, Bellarmine.
Timeout, right.
Yeah, well, that's their first timeout taken. The Crushers have spent all three of their first half timeouts. It was last week that all timeouts were taken, all six in the first half and all six in the second half by the two teams in that ball game from last Friday night. So when play resumes, the Crushers at their own 30-yard line will be punting the ball away. And
Ira, this is where they need good execution. They're up 12-0 with 2.5 to go in the half. You know, fourth down, they need to get a good snap, good hold, good punt, and then hold Bellarmine to, scoreless here so the Bellarmine can't put any points on the board before half.
Yeah. Well, they're not and see about going after the receiver who's going to drop back to his own 35-yard line. Bellarmine will come out of this with pretty good field position. There's the snap. There's the rush. He gets the punt away, and it comes to about midfield. Takes a vintage bounce back into the 40-yard line, down to about the 39-yard line, where it'll be Harrison Barrett that downs the ball.
Yeah, Bellarmine was coming after it, Ira. They wanted to block that punt, and he was able to get it off, and it took a good roll.
31 yards on the punt.
So it will be the Crusher defense. It's done a nice job so far here in this first half.
with 2:16 to go in the second quarter. Bellarmine has two timeouts remaining. They get the ball at their own 39-yard line, heading toward that north end zone. Ball is spotted at the right side hash mark. As the quarterback, Mingrone, will have double wides out to the left side. He just has a single setback there with him. And he keeps the ball. He runs to the outside, cuts in at the 40, out to the 45. And as he's being tackled, tries to just dive forward for another yard. But I think they're going to spot it inside the 45-yard line. They need the 49-yard line for a first down. But the quarterback, Mingrone, picked up a 5-yard gain inside of 2 minutes to go now in the second quarter. And Mingrone back to pass again. Fires on the right side, and it's complete for a first down. Hatfield was there to make the tackle after Matthew Pinelli made sure that he was going to hold on to that pass. And he has the ball in Crusher territory now at the 49-yard line.
Yeah, Pinelli did a good job. Just ran a little hook, about a 10-yard hook. Ball was delivered. Ball caught. Good tackle by Hatfield.
Mingrone looks, fires on the right side, and it's deflected in the air. The pass went over there to Anthony Magri, and it hit him in the hands and popped up in the air.
Yeah, just a little over the, we call that over the hat. You know, it's balls above your helmet. It's a tough catch to make, but you got to make that catch.
Now, Dylan Leach is down on the field area now instead of next to you. So he has changed positions.
Yeah, he wants to make sure Bellarmine doesn't score here before half as Vintage is up 12 to nothing.
Yeah, that was his strong suit was defense, wasn't it, when he was over at Napa High?
Absolutely.
And the quarterback tries to set a screen pass, and it is complete to Henry. Henry is going to be driven back. Weber for one, Shemko for another.
Yeah. James Roberts, the one that came in and caused that delay there. Goodbye, Robert, where Shomko and Weber could come in and clean up and make the tackle. Another timeout by Bellarmine here, Ira.
They have one timeout remaining. We can tell you about the officials now. John Little is the referee. Lem Sneed is the umpire. John Galvin, the head linesman. Matt Amadeus is the line judge. And the back judge is the guy from the NCAA that we mentioned, Jason Castro. We've had him before, and he's a very fine official and works college football regularly.
I wonder where he's going to be working tomorrow.
Yeah, somewhere local, I guess. He must really love to referee. I have to say, if I was one of the other officials, if there was a discussion about a play, I might defer to what the NCAA referee says.
Absolutely, Dino. Absolutely.
Remember when Ron Blum was around the area? He turned out to be an excellent NFL official. He was a referee there in the latter stages of his career with officiating.
Yep, that's absolutely correct.
So it's going to be third down. They have to get to the 39, and they have the ball back at the 48. There is a flag. It's going to be illegal substitution is going to be the call against Bellarmine. Bellarmine will be assessed a penalty for an illegal substitution there.
Yeah, you can't come out of the timeout with 12 men on the field and then try to run off.
Yeah. So that moves the ball back into Bell's territory, the 47-yard line. Minute 21 to go here in the first half, 12 to nothing. Vintage has the lead. Mingrant back to pass, getting rushed, steps inside the pocket, throws long down the middle, and it's over everyone, intended for Anthony Magri.
Just good coverage there, Ira. That one time, Cutler low, the safety was right there with him. Just good coverage by the Vintage defense. Real impressed with their Vintage defense tonight. They've come out to play.
They had a real good first half against Lincoln and Stockton last week.
Absolutely. And they got put to the test right after that.
They may have tired a bit, but right now it's going to be fourth down, and that will be a punt coming for Andrew Schaefer. Weber drops back inside of the 30-yard line for the Kreischers. He goes over to the left side hash marks. We'll see if they kick it away from him. They run. No, they kick it toward him, and it hits him, and he dives for the ball, and let's see if he covered it up. They are indicating, yes, that Weber had that punt hit the turf and then jumped right up, hit him in the chest, and he had to quickly
react to cover it up.
Well, Schaefer, he kicks that low line drive. It's only about 5 feet off the ground. By the time it gets to Weber, it's sinking fast like a sinker, like a from a baseball pitcher. He needs to make a decision, either get out of the way or come up and make the catch. Weber got lucky that time.
28 net yards on that punt.
Aaron, play action, back to pass, lobs one down the side to Hatfield, off his fingertips. Had a crossing pattern there by the defenders, one coming from one way, the other from another way, and they were looked like for a moment they might even collide, but it was just a little overthrown to Hatfield.
Yeah, they were just running that. Again, it's the wheel route. That time is off a double tight look with the wing back running the post and the running back coming out on the wheel that time.
And a little bit of play action. He hasn't used that too much. Jacob Aaron is capable, though, of putting that ball on the target.
See if Coach Leach wants to try to put points on the board, Ira, 1 minute to go, second and 10, or just run the clock out.
From the 25-yard line, full house backfield. Now they shift. Well, they have about three or four players shifting out there. They have not become set yet, and I don't see any flags as Aaron rolls out, looks. Lobs one, and it's incomplete. He did have a player in that general area in Noah Galbertson.
That play was just a disaster from the start where the players didn't know where to line up. Ira, there was miscommunication there. Aaron did a great job just throwing the ball away. Very good composure for a young sophomore.
I'm surprised that the Crushers weren't penalized because I'm not sure they had seven men on the line of scrimmage for that play.
Well, the way everybody's moving around, Dino, you could have been correct.
Yeah. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Crushers with the ball now on third down and 10 yards to go. And Aaron on the handoff as they work it over right tackle, and it's Shemko carries across the 30. He's not going to make it to the 35, however. He is brought down shy of a first down. Shemko getting the ball outside the 30, to about the 31-yard line. The punting unit coming back on the field.
And Bellarmine uses their final timeout to try and see what they can do here on this punt.
Okay. The earlier days, and I don't have number 9 on my roster, and I don't know if you have it on one of your rosters, but... earlier, Eddie Gonzalez was designated as their punter and their kicker, but he has not been the one that has been out there tonight. So we'll check on that at halftime as the Crushers will be punting with 41 seconds to go here until halftime at Memorial Stadium, 12-0 Vintage in the lead. And the just send that one guy back in single safety back here at the 40-yard line to receive the punt. And it's a good one. Coming back and bounding. And the Crushers will down it at the 39-yard line. It bounced right to Mo Castro. And so the defender stepped away from it. And Castro downs the ball at the 40-yard line.
28 yards on that punt.
And no return. So from their own 40-yard line and only 35 seconds remaining, we'll see what Bellarmine can do with the ball. They had a win over Clovis North, 13-12. They lost to Menlo of Atherton, 28-0 in their two games. They split their games. They are 1-1. Vintage is 1-2 coming into this game. Quarterback dropped back the pass, getting the rush. He's running toward the sideline. He'll step out of bounds with 28 seconds to go, and that stops the clock.
Well, so, that front three of Vintage doing a terrific job, led by Zach Daniels and Colton Fisher. They're just doing a great job controlling that line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they have, as you say, that line doing the job, and the defensive secondary too.
Right, and Bryce Eade there as well, Ira, the front three. They're just doing a great job on the big bull rushes here.
Second down, 15 yards to go. Quarterback Mingrone fires,
And it's dropped at midfield by Pinelli. Boy, he took a hit, too, just as that ball arrived.
Yeah, Pinelli wasn't ready for the ball. He just made his cut on the post and all of a sudden looked up, and the ball was about 2 yards from him. Wasn't expecting it that quick. And then you got to be expecting it as a receiver to ball. When your head is turned, you got to expect ball right away. Good ball, just not executed on the other end.
Well, neither team with a timeout remaining, and 24 seconds to go here in the first half. Finney's leading it 12-0, and this will be Bellarmine, perhaps their final play. They have a trip set right side, single wide to the left side, and the quarterback fires out in the right flat. The pass is complete to Liker. Liker down the sideline, gets up just about to first down territory, and he is driven out of bounds at the midfield, stopping the clock with 14 seconds to go.
Boy, I tell you, when they watch the film, Josh Roberts going to kick himself in the head on this one. He had him stop for a loss, not a yard shot, but a short gain, and just let the receiver slip through him. That will drive a coach bananas, a missed tackle like that.
First down at midfield. Clock is running now. This could be the final play as Mingrone back to pass. He is firing the long one down the middle and overshoots everyone, including the vintage secondary. Had a shot maybe at the ball, but it was overthrown by everybody with 0.4 seconds to go in the first half. And the incompleted forward pass stops the clock here with one more play then, unless it's a defensive penalty.
Well, Bellarmine gets one more shot at it, Ira, and there's nothing wrong with it. Throw a big jump ball down there and see who comes down with it.
He's got the arm.
He does.
He put it in the end zone
on that
pass. And so the line of scrimmage is the 50, and he was at least 5 yards behind that. So 55 yards plus some in the end zone in the air. And Groen, long count, trip set right. He is dropping back, looks left, sets. Fires a pass, and it's incomplete. He had the intended receiver, Maggie, starting to move to the inside, and the pass went to the outside. Little misconnection on that.
Yep, and that's a big stop, though, for Vintage, though, as they come away at halftime, 12-0. Ira, they got to be happy.
We'll be back with halftime from Memorial Stadium, where the hosts, the Vintage Crushers, are leading the Bellarmine Bells 12-0. Well, back here we are at Memorial Stadium as the Vintage High Band is about to perform. And I imagine that we'll have the special ceremony that leads to tomorrow night's induction. This is a special night as far as the Athletic Hall of Fame at Vintage High. This is the sixth year that they've had the induction. And they're going to have 15 or 20 of the current Vintage High School athletes serve as ambassadors at the game here tonight. In fact, they're asking them to wear red, white, and blue. And anyway, that's something that we'll find out more about as the band is coming out in some type of formation. I'm not sure they're getting set with their opening number here, and I don't think we can pick it up, but they have the dancers there who are different from the cheerleaders. 25 cheerleaders and at least a dozen dancers out there. So
I count exactly 12, Ira. Good counting on here.
All right, well, let's find out what else you have to tell us about as it relates to figures.
So the first half scoring summary, it was the Crushers getting on the board with a minute 52 to go in the first quarter. Michael Weber pulling in a 26-yard touchdown pass from Aaron. The run for 2 points was unsuccessful, but the Crushers were ahead 6-0 after an 80-yard drive that took 6 minutes 48 seconds off the clock. The Crushers scored again, this time in the second quarter, with 6:58 to go. It was Villami Shomkul taking the ball in from 5 yards out for the touchdown. Again, the two-point conversion was unsuccessful, but the Crushers led 12-0. That was a 55-yard drive that took 12 plays and took 5 minutes 41 seconds off the clock. On the individual numbers for the Crushers, the leading ball carrier is Aaron with 43 yards on 7 carries. Hatfield has 34 yards on 6 carries. Shomkel, 14 yards on 5 carries. Altogether, the Crushers have run 23 times for 114 yards, and that's just under 5 yards a carry. Kent, you mentioned that they were averaging about that, and you were right on. Aaron completed 4 out of 8 passing for 49 yards with the one touchdown to Weber of 26 yards. So altogether for the Crushers, 31 offensive plays, 163 yards. For the Bellarmine Bells, they had only 2 players who carried the ball. Mingron, the quarterback, had 6 carries, 23 net yards with a long of 31. Henry had 6 carries for a net of 5 yards. So for Bellarmine, just 28 yards rushing. McGrone passing, 6 for 15, 40 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So for Bellarmine, 27 offensive plays, just 68 yards of offense, as the Crushers' D-line and really the whole Crusher defense has just played superbly. On some of the team numbers, the Crushers have 8 first downs, all on the ground. Bellarmine, 5 first downs, 2 on running plays, 2 on pass plays, and 1 on a penalty. Bellarmine was unable to convert on any of their third down efforts. The Crushers converted 2 out of 4 on third down and also 1 fourth down. Bellarmine did convert on a couple of fourth downs. And 2 penalties for 6 yards against Bellarmine, 4 penalties for 40 yards against the Crushers. Bellarmine had 3 fumbles, lost one of them. Vittich had 2 fumbles and lost one of them. And the Crushers played a really solid first half, other than not being able to convert on the 2-point conversion efforts. And a couple of unnecessary penalties, a pretty strong first half for Vittich, Ira.
Well, it's kind of interesting to see the water pick at least set up. It didn't work out, but haven't seen that for a while.
Yeah, you know, Napa used to run it all the time.
Yeah,
remember?
They did,
yeah.
Right.
And, you know, they had it set up twice, ran it once for didn't execute it. But it's fun to see a lot of different formations, a lot of tricks, a lot of gadgets.
Yeah, so many options off of that. I want to tell you about some other events coming up tomorrow relating to vintage athletes. The cross-country team has an all-day meet at Hidden Valley. And that what's the Hidden Valley Park? That should be at Martinez. So it's over at Martinez. And the girls' water polo team, an all-day meet at McClatchy High School. That's in the Sacramento area. And, of course, the big thing is the induction of the Athletic Hall of Fame at the Elks Lodge. This is the 6th year for that. And I think that starts at 5 tomorrow night. And Kent Fry will be one of the presenters.
Well, Ira, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be presenting Justin Dragoo. And what an honor it is just to be asked to be a presenter. I'm looking forward to it. And of course, my good buddy JC or John Connor, who played against me, and I coached with him and against with him, and over the years, he also will be inducted. And I'm just—it's a 2-for-1 for me. So to be a presenter and present Justin Dragoo, and just what a great kid he was, Ira. Oh my goodness, what a hard worker and ethics and his discipline. And of course, my old coach, you know, playing partner JC. John Connor, so I'm looking forward to it.
So there were probably plenty of other familiar faces. And
well, I mentioned, you know, it's nice to have the old coaching staff, you know. Boy, we just had a lot of faces, if I can remember everybody who was there. But, you know, Admiral Mike Hull, H-U-L-L, who coached for many years with Les Franco and was Les's offensive coordinator. We call him the Admiral, Halsey. Is what we call him, and you know, we give LJ Les Franco a bad time, and we always give Hull the glory Halsey the glory. So that, you know, no different tonight. I'm going to do the same thing, you know. give Coach LJ a bad time and praise Halsey. But it's great to see Timmy T. Tarner, Bruce McCall, Mark Coleman, Andrew Hall stopped by. There were so many familiar faces over there. It was just great to see everybody. Tony Flores stopped by and played with JC. And who else? Larry Scorza was there. Oh, my goodness. We had quite a bunch over there. It was great.
Yeah, I think Larry is working at Justin Siena some now, helping their football
program. He does. He does a lot of the filming for him and so forth. I see JC walking out to the field now, and his knees are absolutely gone, Ira. He was showing me his x-rays of his back and of his knees. He played football at San Francisco State. He's just barely walking out there. Boy, the old football is taking a toll on those knees and so forth. And
but he made it here from New Mexico.
He did make it from New Mexico, and his daughter and granddaughter are out there with him. What a great, happy moment for JC.
Yeah, well, it's good to see these guys back here, as you alluded to, and they keep coming. And one of the reasons that Kent is active, helping out tonight with Justin Dragoo, is that unfortunately Justin's father passed away not too long ago.
Parents, Mick and Mary Ira, just wonderful people. And, you know, as a young coach at the time, just opened their doors and opened up their home, and were so gracious to me and my family. And I can't say enough about Mick and Mary. And you know, Justin and his older brother Jason. Justin's brother Jason is the team physician, orthopedic surgeon for Stanford football. I don't know if you knew that or not, Ira. Went on, he's becoming a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon. And that's the way Mick and Mary raised those two boys, that, you know, you work hard, you play hard. But I remember Jason telling me years ago that, you know, if he didn't get an A in every subject, he didn't get to play sports. So just a great and if you look at Jason, you know, and look at Justin and what they've done. But Justin himself, you know, went on to be a high executive with IBM, and then he became president of a local winery. And him and two of his classmates decided, you know what, let's get Bottle Rock started up again. And they're the founders of Latitude 38, a very successful Bottle Rock program. Not only Bottle Rock, Ira, but many other music venues as them. That keeps them full-time busy right there.
Yeah, they line up the talent for the Mondavi summer concert.
Absolutely they do. And he still looks like he could play linebacker for Arizona State. Was a team captain there at Arizona State. Used to go down and watch him play a lot.
Yeah. Then, in fact, his family moved down that way so they could watch him
play, too. Then they moved over to San Diego and started a winery there. And, again, you mentioned Mick Dragoo, who used to fly hot air balloons and was a surgeon himself started a winery and just did many, many things.
Yeah, wonderful family. And we join in the salute to the Dragoos.
There's Lonnie Spann coming out. Lonnie played with me against me in high school and with me out at the college. And Lonnie's kind of hobbling out there himself. I think his knees may be gone.
Yeah, they refer to him as Lonnie Spann Jr.
Yeah. And Lonnie was an excellent track star. He was very good at track.
And we have, I don't know if Paul Schreiner has made it out there yet.
Let's see if I can look down there. I think Paul might be in the hat down there. It's hard to see.
And we've got Pete Zoffi and Steve McConnell and Judy Schaefer, Mary Sherwood McDonald. I mean, they're all being introduced here at halftime, and they'll be inducted tomorrow night.
Ira, you know, you're mentioning people. Bruce McCall was able to come over here for a short time. And you know, you and I have talked about Bruce McCall, Glenn Hughes, Rob Brantlin, and of course, Rob Erickson. I mean, what a tremendous job they do. And Bruce was saying today, you know, one of the things he misses about being out here in the field, he misses his good buddy Timmy T. Tarner, who is just so instrumental in helping Bruce. And talk about, you know, a guy come off, his helmet's banged up, face mask, shoulder pads messed up, our radio's not working. Timmy T could fix anything. So
another guy that volunteered his time.
Volunteered his time over and over and over again. Bruce is always still trying to get Timmy T. Tarner out here to help him out. And Bruce McCall, what a story that is, Ira. Napa Valley Physical Therapy, giving their talents to the community for 44 years. And Les and I were talking that there's 1,000 kids they treat every year. And then you think about that. It's 44,000 kids. And didn't charge one dime for that. Not only football, but baseball, basketball, track, wrestling. It didn't matter what sport, swimming. If an athlete, student athlete needed help, then they were there to treat that athlete. It was great.
Well, taking a look at some of the other games around the area tonight, we gave you that Justin score. The Braves were ahead of Hercules 6-0 in the first quarter of that game. American Canyon is playing at Wilsey Wood tonight, and Wood is very strong.
Wood's very strong. They're tough to beat. I think American Canyon's in for a tough foe again.
Yeah. Calistoga's playing at Upper Lake tonight. St. Helena has a bye this week. Vintage will have the bye next week. And so will Bellarmine. They will have a bye as well next week. So the next time that after tonight that Vintage sees action will be in the new league, as that will be getting underway as early as next week.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, Vintage with the bye, of course, will get a week to heal up. So that will help. That will definitely help.
And then they come back, and next Friday, Sonoma Valley is here at Memorial Stadium playing against Napa. We'll be broadcasting that game. And
first league game, right, Ira?
Yep. That'll be the our first broadcast of the Vine Valley Athletic League. And American Canyon will be home to Petaluma next week. That game will be on KVYN. So that must mean that Casa Grande will be hosting Justin Siena the next week. And then Casa Grande comes in here in 2 weeks when Vintage will be here for their homecoming.
That's right. So that'll be a fun game to broadcast as well.
So homecoming will be 2 weeks from tonight.
You know, Ira, I'm just watching the inductees out here, and there's one, two, three,
eight of
four,
them.
Five, six men and two ladies. And how come the ladies are moving a whole lot better than the men, you know? Oh, we get older and our joints start to creak and crack all the time.
Well, it's nice that all eight of them could make it here.
I know John Connor is going to be presented by Coach Les Franco tomorrow night, and that's going to be fun just to see and visit again with Coach Franco. And boy, I tell you, just a lot of war stories and great coaching attributes. And Les was a teacher, Ira, as you well know, and still teaches young men today through his coaching and parenting and grandparenting, and he's just been a great I don't know what the word is. He's just been a great commodity for this Napa Unified School District over the years.
Well,
say enough about him.
Remember, his parents used to listen into our broadcast all the time.
Yeah, I tell you, it was fun. It was a great day over there.
Well, anyway, we'll be back and get set for the upcoming second half of tonight's game here at Memorial Stadium. It's halftime with the Vintage Chrysler's of Napa 12 and the Bellarmine Prep from San Jose 0 back after this.
When your car or truck is ready for new tires, go to the tire store that provides wholesale prices direct to the public. Quinlan's Tire Service has been of tire service to the Napa Valley for over 50 years. Aaron Quinlan continues that family tradition. Road service is also provided. All major brands of tires are available at wholesale prices. Check them out. Quinlan Tires on Watson Lane, north of American Canyon's Walmart, just off the east side of the Napa Vallejo Highway.
Hi, this is State Farm Insurance Agent Mark Coleman.
Well, we're moving right along here at Memorial Stadium, getting set to head into the second half of our ball game, as the Vintage Chrysler's lead 12-0 here at halftime. And, Kent, they have the new starting time, according to the people in the North Coast section, as compared to the Sac Joaquin section, which preferred the 7:30 starting time. But in the North Coast section, they prefer the 7 o'clock starting time.
Will be earlier nights and, earlier. Hopefully the games will get over a little bit earlier, but you know, that's okay. I always preferred the 7:30 myself, and I remember when it used to be 8 o'clock. So, and then they moved it to 7:30, and now we're going to bump it to 7, so be a different change.
Well, we might also mention that we thought this game would be moving along rather rapidly, and it was until late in the first half when the Bells started passing a little more. Vintage kept the ball basically on the ground.
And Vintage had a few miscues there, and, you know, and didn't run out the clock and so forth. Yeah, those last 2 minutes took it's almost like a basketball game in the NBA way where it took 15 minutes for 2 minutes. So we'll see how they go. But Vintage is doing pretty well, I think, Dino. There are very few penalties compared to what we've seen in the past.
Yep, the Vintage has played almost a flawless game, and it's interesting to note both teams went into this game wanting to run the ball. Vintage has been able to do that. Out of 31 offensive plays, they have had 23 runs and 8 passes, and that's probably about what they like to see. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kent.
No, I was just listening to your stats there.
For Bellarmine, on the other hand, a team that also likes to run the ball, 12 rushing plays, 15 passes in that first half. So they're not getting quite the run-to-pass balance that they were looking for.
It'll be interesting tomorrow night as Kent will be over at the Elks Club for the induction ceremony. We'll be here to broadcast the Napa High game as the football team takes on Archbishop Reardon of San Francisco, the Crusaders. And there is a guy that is the assistant athletic there that some of you might remember. His name is Bob Green. If you remember when Bob Green was athletic director and coach over at Trinity Prep, he was involved in a lot of athletics and worked with us some at KVON as well.
So another local connection there, Ira.
Yeah, and he's assistant athletic director there at Archbishop Reardon. So we'll be seeing him and hopefully chat with him in the pregame as well as halftime. And it'll be interesting in the standpoint that neither team has won this year. Reardon is 0-2. Napa High is 0-3. And so that will be taking place tomorrow. We'll be on the air at least by 6:45, but we may go on as early as 6:30, depending on the time for the JV contest. But we'll be right back here to follow the Napa High football team tomorrow night. The Reardon team likes to use a kind of a shotgun spread, and, you know, that's something that the defensive secondary has to be awake for.
Yeah, Napa's going to be facing a tough test again, and we'll see how they do. They need to get on the win column, though, that's for sure. They need to get on there fast. Otherwise, things could happen dramatically and morale go down and so forth like that. And with all the disarray that Napa's been facing this last year, they could use a big W.
Yeah. Brock Bowers is back. He was injured earlier in the year. He's just a sophomore. He caught 3 touchdown passes last week. And the quarterback, Gunnar Shep, passed for 280 yards and 4 touchdowns, and they lost.
Yeah, that's a tough loss when you perform all those stats and so forth.
Yeah, Nevada Union there at Grass Valley, 59-34 was the final there. Napa last year went to San Francisco and defeated Archbishop Reardon, 28-13. And that was in last year's matchup. And interesting, the defensive coordinator for Napa High football is Anthony Armstrong Brown. You know, he assisted over at Justin Siena, and while he was assisting there, I think they had 4 section championships. Well, anyway, we're back here now for the Vintage Crushers and Bellarmine Prep. It's Athletic Hall of Fame night. This is the first meeting ever between these two schools. And Napa will be playing tomorrow night for the second time against Reardon. Getting set to kick off now as the Vintage Crushers will be receiving. And we're set to get this second half underway. And here we go. There is the kick. End over ends going way back to about the 1 yard line, and it is brought out to the 10, the 15, and out to about the 18 yard line as the Crushers setting up their return and had Michael Weber bring it back close to the 20 yard line.
And I know Vintage, was happy to get the ball back. They deferred, as Dino told us, at the opening of this game. Get the ball back. This is where Coach Leach wants to get a nice, long, sustained drive, take time off the clock, pound the ball just like they were in that first half, and just get a good drive going here.
So we're set now as Aaron They had a direct snap there as it went to Shumkull, and Shumkull ran it out to about the 26-yard line, got about 5 or 7 yards on that.
Right, right. Bellarmine playing in that 3-5 as they have all night. So it's three down linemen, five true linebackers is what it is, two corners and a safety, coming up trying to stop that run.
As I say, they had that snap to Shumkull.
He's back there again.
Yeah, he's back there to take the snap, and he gets it, and he runs with the ball. He starts to sweep outside. He gets to the 30, 35, 40. Shumkull down the sideline. He's to midfield. He's the 40. Coming in from behind, they give him a little shove, and he goes out of bounds. Well, he was not going down on those earlier contacts there.
And Ira, we saw Vintage come out with this against Alcalanis in the start of their game with Alcalanis, when they put Shumkull back there in the backfield and just put a big power football formation, if you will. Zach Daniel lines up in the formation as a running back, and they just go power, power, power.
So it's at the 30-yard line of Bellarmine that the ball is spotted, and it's a trip set left side, tight end right side. Single setback in the backfield is Ede. And Ede is going to carry over left tackle, and he is not going to go very far, though. He got about a yard, maybe 2 yards at the most. We're just underway in the second half, 12-0. Vintage has the lead, and they have the football to start this second half. They have the ball down in the Bells territory at the 29-yard line, making it second down and 9 to go for the Vintage Crushers.
And Ira, that run by Shumkull went for 44 yards.
Shumkull is the only setback there now, as he will carry over left tackle. He gets inside the 25 and gets all the way down to about the 20. He is right in the first down territory.
Yeah, he's just short there, Ira. Coach Leach coming out, just keeping it on the ground, running power football. That time they had the wingback lead up with the lead block, Shumkull falling right behind him.
So getting the call from the sideline, Jacob Aaron relates it there into the huddle. As the Crushers getting down there in the red zone, sending Birdsall out wide to the left side. Wide out on the right side is Robert. And the give on the right side is to Galvin. Galvin gets inside the 15, inside the 10 before he is brought down. A nice run there by Galvin. Finally brought down by Anthony Magri.
Yeah, a little X-cross action in the backfield. Fullback goes left. Galvin came back from the left to the right. Nice job up front blocking. Good run.
First down, goal to go for the Crushers at the 8-yard line. Shumkull in the backfield with Galvin. And the give is to Galvin over his right guard this time, and he gets maybe a yard. Could have gotten a couple maybe as he was trying to lunge forward as he was being tackled out there.
Yeah, same play as they ran before that time. Bellarmine was ready for it, Ira, no gain.
So it is second down, goal to go. It's about 7.5 yards out, not quite 8 and not quite 7. So we're kind of in between there as the Crushers have Jack O'Dell over the ball at center. Shotgun formation this time. And they give it to Hatfield. Hatfield right up the middle into the end zone. Touchdown. Hatfield carries the ball into the end zone for the Vintage Crushers.
Great play, Hatfield. Second man through, just following his lead blocker up. Good play call, good blocking up front, good execution.
Okay, well, and I don't have number 9 on my roster. You don't have it either for Vintage on the kicker?
I do not.
Yeah. But the extra point, they're attempting the kick. And the ball is on the way, and it is good. So there's a timeout now. We're just inside of 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. And the score is Vintage 19, Bellarmine 0. Okay, well, Kent has that information to clear up now. It's Eddie Chavez. As we get set for his kick. And he booms it way back there. It's going to bound at the 5, and it goes into the end zone. They're going to have a touchback. They tried to get it there right at the goal line before it got into the end zone as Izon Henry looked at the official, said, "I thought I was out of the end zone when I got the ball."
He would have been incorrect.
Yeah. He was about a yard in.
Yep. That touchdown drive for the Crushers, this time 81 yards on 6 plays and to 3 minutes and 3 seconds off the clock as they just continued to run the ball down the throats of the Bellarmine defense.
All right, it's Mingrone handing off. They go right side with Henry carrying. He gets to the outside on the sweep, gets the first down, the 30. He's going to midfield. He's down the sideline, the right side, the 30, the 20. He gets inside the 10, avoids a tackle, lunges into the end zone, hits the pylon, and it's a touchdown.
Ira, that's just a poor support on Vintage. That's a great run. But they had outside containment, force him back inside, but the support was not there for Vintage.
Well, you know, last week, Vintage had a very strong first half, and the defense weakened a bit in the second half, and they are hoping that the same thing is not going to prevail here in this game.
Right, Bellarmine come out with one play from scrimmage and putting points on the board. It's big for them.
Yeah, and Andrew Schaefer is going to be attempting the extra point now. Just over 8.5 minutes to go. We're just in the third quarter of the game. Let's see if the extra point is converted. The snap, low snap, and the placement was down, and the kick was up and good. So that makes it 19 for Vintage, 7 for Bellarmine, and Vintage will see what they can do with the offense now this time on the receiving the kick. So Vinny started out the second half pretty strong there. We saw Hatfield get into the end zone for a touchdown early on in this quarter. But Bellarmine has come right back to get a touchdown and an extra point. We're just in the third quarter with 8 minutes, 39 seconds remaining. Mo Castro goes back deep with Michael Weber this time. Castro on the left and Weber on the right. And the kicker, Andrew Schaefer, lining up the football there on the left side hash marks. He'll be kicking with the wind behind him, kicking toward that north end zone. Now he's got Weber kind of right in the middle, and Castro over to that left side as he is set to approach the football. And he booms it over, and Weber is going to go back right at the goal line. And he'll bring it out of there at the 5-yard line. Ooh, he is hit, but he stays on his feet, hit by another, and he struggles across the 10 out to about the 12-yard line. Boy, he took a heavy hit early, but stayed on his feet and picked up another couple yards. And Weber bounces right back up. Those guys are so resilient out there, Kent.
Yes, they are, Ira. They do a good job that way, but in good shape, but... You know, let's see if Vintage can bounce back here, Ira. They came out in the second half, marched down the field, put a score on their board. This is exactly what they need to do. Bellarmine answered right back in one play. No panic, no need to panic. Vintage just needs to get a nice, long, sustained drive.
Yeah. Cutter Lowe got a start tonight there at a wide receiver. Comes out to the right side. They have a tight end on the left side, and they send Castro out as the wing on the left side, putting him in motion. And the handoff on the counter, they go up the middle as it is carried by Hatfield again out to about the 24-yard line.
Yeah, nice little play. Fake to the wing back, coming in motion, and then give to the second man through Hatfield. Nice pickup of 11 yards here.
So the Crushers are moving the chains. Out there to the 24-yard line. Just over 8 minutes to go here in the third quarter. 19-7 is the score. Vintage has the lead. And here come the Crushers now out of their huddle. Their sophomore, Jacob Aaron, is under center. Center being Jack Odell. And they hand off, coming right over the left tackle spot, getting outside the 25-yard line.
Came out in that full house backfield, Ira, and just running the option off that, given to the fullback, middle man.
Dane Contreras is in that huddle now. Michael Weber comes in with play from the sideline for the offense. Pickup of a couple on the last play, maybe 3. Second down and 7 to go as the Crushers use trips out to the left side. shotgun formation, putting Weber in motion, going to the right. And they're shooting the gap, and Aaron sets and fires a wobbly pass, and it's underthrown because Weber, well, it's the quarterback Aaron got hit hard as he was.
Yeah, he's shaking up.
Yeah.
Well, they had trips over there, Ira, and then they put the tight end over there, and then they
showed blitz
over there, yeah.
Yeah, they blitzed and shot the gap right. and really hit the quarterback hard.
Vintage literally had five guys to the left with the motion back going over there, and as you said, Bellarmine came on the strong side blitz and just got to Aaron real quick.
It'll be third down and a possession play coming up now for the Crushers. They need about 7 yards for a first down. The ball is out at the 27-yard line.
They need to get this playoff. They don't have a play yet. They're going to burn a timeout. This is bad. You don't want to burn a timeout here. They're just giving their quarterback time to rest up a little bit.
All right, you got a score coming in from Justin Siena. Third quarter, Justin Siena is leading 18-0 now in their game tonight.
And here we have 19-7 Vintage over Bellarmine, but momentum seems to be shifting toward Bellarmine here, Ira. Vintage needs a good play here.
Yeah. They need to not go 4 and out or 3 and out. And they have some changes now as they're still huddling there just adjacent to the Vintage sideline. Cutter Lowe back in there. And Michael Weber stays in, as does Jesus Galvin. And putting Cutter Lowe out way out wide on the left side. Under center this time is Aaron. As he drops back to pass, rolls out to his left, squares, fires, and it's intercepted as the intended receiver was Michael Weber. And he slipped and fell down, and that left it open then for the interception by Anthony Magri.
Yeah, I think the ball was a little overthrown anyway. I don't know if Weber would have had a chance for it, but big, big turnover here, Ira. Bellarmine getting the ball back in Vintage territory at the 42.
Yeah, and they score this time. We got a game going here. And the way that the quarterback has been firing the ball, he can find his target. Mingrown, 6 foot senior, pitches it back from the double wing, and they can't find an opening there. And Joey Liker is tripped up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Angel Castillo, big defensive end there, big number 8, doing his job.
So it's going to be second down and 10 yards to go. Inside of the 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter. 19-7 is the score, Vintage. With the lead, Bellarmine with the momentum, using that double wing. Well, they used just a wing on the right side, though, this time. Tight end on the left side. And the quarterback drops back to pass, fire. And it was nearly intercepted right to Hatfield, and it bounced off of him and goes incomplete. I don't know if that surprised him or what.
No, he just dropped it. Hatfield right in his breadbasket. You couldn't ask the ball to be delivered any better.
Like it was intended for the...
You catch that ball, Hatfield, you're off to the races for 6.
Yep. Yeah, he could have had his second touchdown there, out in there in the flat area. So that stops the clock now, inside of 6.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Vintage defense trying to hold here on this third down play, although probably Bellarmine is in four down territory. Mingrown drops back to midfield to pass, steps inside the pocket. He's going to get sacked there, and now they probably will punt the ball. Good job of getting into the quarterback to get that sack.
Yeah, Vintage brought 5 guys that time, Ira. 2 from the 2 backers along with the 3 defensive front.
And
put pressure on and kept the containment.
Sack.
Yeah.
Yeah, several just surrounded him, and he had no place to go, and they all brought him down at the same time. So that brings up 4th down, and the Crushers come out of this in pretty good territory. Looks like Zekovic is back there. Is that the right number? Let's see. There's the punt. coming down. No, that's Weber still back there. It goes into the end zone.
Yeah. Good decision-making back there by Michael Weber.
Weber just let it go into the end zone. A touchback. One of the Vinny's players injured on that play.
47 yards on the punt, but since the ball will come out to the 20, only a 27-yard net in a way.
Yeah, one of the Crusher players is down. See if they probably a Charlie horse.
Well, they were holding his leg up. I don't know if it's a cramp. Yeah, looks like a cramp.
So probably not necessary for Bruce McCall to come out.
I know Bruce is down here working with Shomko on the sidelines.
Yeah, you know, there he is, yeah. Shomko's, boy, he's been hit hard, but has had he usually does just play a tough game.
Yeah, Shomko just gives you his all.
Cutter Lowe was the injured player, and he's coming off the field under his own power. So he's going to be okay. Meantime, the Crushers are lining up at the 20-yard line where it's first down after the punt went into the end zone. On the counter play, they go to Hatfield. He squirts outside and stumbles and crosses the 30 and then dives for another yard or two as he's going down. So that was enough for a first down.
Yeah, nice little play. Billy Birdsall needs to do it. Just, you know, if he can just make that key block on the perimeter, he could have gone for six there.
Yeah, Birdsall has been spending much of the game very wide out.
Yep.
And he goes to the left side this time and gets out way wide. Jacob Aaron, full house backfield, fakes to the first, gives to Hatfield the second, and the defense reads it well and stops him there for no gain on the play as he ran into big Vincent Santoro, who is 6'2", 245 pounds.
Okay, going back to that little X cross in the backfield, and Bellerman was ready for that this time.
Now they're moving the ball for about a one-yard gain, so Curtin in with a yard pickup, second down and 9 yards to go. Back in their own territory at the 32-yard line. This time it'll be Birdsall out to the right side. And the quarterback keeps the ball. And he goes right up the middle, and he's tackled by the ankle at the 40-yard line, spins, and picks up the first down at the 42-yard line.
Ira, they just had the designed quarterback keep with two lead backs there, offset to the right. And Jacob Aaron just followed up for the first down.
Yeah, that was not the option. That was
just a design quarterback keep, two lead backs.
Ball's put down at the 43-yard line.
The Crushers are now at 250 yards rushing as a team, and they have 13 rushing first downs.
They have that full house backfield behind their quarterback, Aaron, as he there's movement in the backfield by the Crushers. Bryce Eade just flinched a little bit. And that'll be a false start.
They're going to call that on Birdsall. Was it Birdsall or Eade?
Eade, I saw him flex. So that will move the ball back inside the 40, back to the 38-yard line. Just over 4 minutes to go here in the third quarter. 19-7 the score. The Vintage Crushers with the ball and the lead heading toward that south end zone and a full house backfield wide out to the right side. And on the counter, they give it over to Castro. Castro tries to swing out, and then on the sweep, he's brought down before he can get much yardage, getting back maybe a yard on the cut. And one of the players in on the tackle, Ryan Hegberg, was a little slow getting up. He's a defensive tackle out there, 6'1 senior. He's going to go to the sideline now after that little hit. And it is second down and about 13 yards to go for a first down with 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Shotgun formation. Aaron takes the snap. Fires on a crossing, and it is on a slant, and it is complete, getting ball into Bell's territory as the Crushers complete the pass to Joshua Robert.
Yeah, nice ball, nice pattern. They had three receivers stacked on top of each other to the right, with Josh Roberts being the third one, the deepest one, who ran the little slant. The two front receivers just cleared out for him.
21 yards on that play.
Well, we so remember Joshua's brother, James Robert, that played last year.
Yeah, great little running back, nice and strong.
Yeah, exceptional football player.
Three stacked again out here on the right.
Yep, trip right, single left. Quarterback gets the snap, looks left, lobs it down the sideline, and he held on to it. It's ruled a complete pass over there, and that was Michael Weber with a great reception with the defender all over him.
Same formation, Ira. Same formation with three stacked on the right. Weber singled up on the left. Aaron, I don't know if he deliberately did it or threw a little back shoulder pass, and Weber came up with a nice catch. Weber drives me crazy. He makes some great plays out there, and then he can miss some tackles or something. I love this kid. He's a tough nut.
Well, let's see what the Crushers can do if they can get into the end zone now. They have a first down, the ball at the 15-yard line of Bellarmine.
Weber's at QB.
Yeah, and he takes the snap and goes over right tackle, gets down inside the 5-yard line for a first and goal to go for the Vintage Crushers. And as you said, boy, the blocking there up front was really good on that.
Yeah, Vintage looking to add some points to this. They're up 19-7. They're adding... Down there, what are they, at the 5 or 4 there, Ira?
Right at the 5. So the Crushers had one touchdown in this quarter. Had two touchdowns in the first half. Led 12-0 at halftime. Coming up in a tight formation now. No wideouts. And Weber takes the direct snap. 4, 3, 2, 1. End zone touchdown! No flags on the field. And Michael Weber, 5'10 senior, weighs about 155 pounds, gets it into the end zone.
Good job, Michael Weber, just on that wildcat formation, Ira. Made a great catch there to set that up, and then made two great runs to put it in.
Yeah, that catch is what really set it up. So we'll see about the extra point. And it is Eddie Chavez, not Eddie Gonzalez, who was used earlier. And this kick is on its way. It is good. So there is a timeout now with 2 minutes to go, third quarter. It is the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 26, and Bellarmine from San Jose, 7. Back here at Memorial Stadium, Kent Fry was in conversation with Dylan Leach.
Well, you know, Ira, these are the little things that will just drive a coach crazy, and there's many of those little things that drive us crazy. But you know, cramping. Here we are. This is about our fourth player that's down for Vintage on cramping, and it's just not preparing. You have to prepare yourself. Make sure you got plenty of fluids in there that you're not going to cramp up and so forth. So, you know, that's what Coach Leach is referring to. He's just referring to, you know, these guys need to be prepared mentally and physically. You got to take care of yourself and be prepared.
Well, I don't remember that much about Eddie Chavez, but I do remember about the guy helping him off to the sideline.
Well, it's you know, speaking of cramping, his old rebuilt knees himself, Bruce McCall, you know. He's still 44 years he's been doing this. Boy, I tell you, my hat's off to Bruce.
Actually, this is the 45th year.
Glenn Hughes, Rob Brantlin, you know, Napa Valley Physical Therapy. Great job, Bruce.
Yeah. You know, we can't say enough about them or give them enough kudos on our broadcast for everything they do and all. It's just outstanding. Well, the Crushers were ready to kick off, and there was no opponents out there on the field. They were going to kick to an empty field down there toward the south end zone. Now they get set, and well, they'd have to have somebody else kick because Chavez was injured, and they use Castro. It's coming down, and it is taken, brought out across the 20-yard line, 25, and 30-yard line comes Anthony Magri, and he gets out to that 30 where he is stopped. Several of the Crushers converging on him there, with Anthony Martinez being one of those tacklers.
That was better containment on the kickoff coverage team. You know, poor Tony Gasletta down there, I see the coaches on him, but he was being held big time there. So he did a great job on the outside containment.
We're inside of 2 minutes to go here in the third quarter, 26-7. Vintage of Napa has the lead over Bellarmine of San Jose.
that last touchdown drive for the Crushers, 6 plays, 80 yards. That's their third touchdown drive of 80 yards or more on the night.
Mingrone, the quarterback, hands it over to Adam Hayashi, and Hayashi does not get that quite to the 35. He was swinging out, made his cut, and stopped after a 4-yard gain.
Big Bryce Eade chasing him down there from that middle spot.
Clock is moving now with a minute and a half to go here in the third quarter.
I were thinking of the cramping. That's probably what has Coach Leitz up. Why would the kicker be cramping? You know, that's the on having a cramped leg like that.
Yeah. Well, maybe what? Just conjecture here. The handoff goes to Henry. Henry breaks a tackle. He gets the first down and then some as he gets out to the 46-yard line before finally brought down over there.
Yeah, Castro came up, met him head-on after he had received the first down, but almost let him go, but regained the tackle and brought him down.
You know, I think it's interesting that the sophomore quarterback, Jacob Aaron, also plays quite a bit of defense out there for the Crusher.
Yeah, he does.
Playing a safety out on the left side. On the right side safety is Mo Castro. And the quarterback on the option keeps the ball this time, and he gets maybe a yard. He just went to the right side of his line looking for some help and went right into Jose Alfaro.
Yep, Jacob Bittner in there as well.
So a pickup of a yard. Half a minute to go here in this third quarter. Harry Mingrone has been the quarterback throughout the offense for Bellarmine. He's back there with a setback that he hands the ball to, and he gets a good blocker at the line of scrimmage, and Izon Henry fights it over midfield and gets down just shy of a first down. That was on a second down carry. And Henry has been doing a nice job of the last few carries. That's going to end the quarter. So we're here at Memorial Stadium after three quarters of play. And our score on Athletic Hall of Fame night, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 26, the Bellarmine College Prep Bells of San Jose 7. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Coming under the field for the Crushers is Ulysses Montanez, 5'10 junior. And it is a third down and a couple yards to go. They swing out to the left side and get the first down on Izon Henry's carry to the 43-yard line.
And Bellum has just kind of been staying in this tight Cox box formation here, Ira, this second half. They had the big run off of it there, the first series they had in the second half, but they're just kind of sticking with it, trying to get 3 yards in a cloud of dust every time, and so far they're moving the chains. Vintage needs to tighten it up here.
Well, they're also moving the clock by yep. staying on the ground.
Yep.
That could be a factor here as we get down later in this quarter. We're just starting the fourth quarter here with a 26-7 Vintage lead. There must have been an equipment adjustment necessary on one of the Bellarmine players as the officials stopped a play there and sent the player over to the sideline. Now he starts back. Now he goes back to the sideline again. So they only have 10 players out there. Let's see what they're going to do.
They're going to be forced to burn a timeout.
Yeah, you're right. That's what they're going to have to do. So just underway in the fourth quarter, and Bellarmine uses its first timeout. So each team has taken a timeout here in the second half. Well, next week it's a bye week for the Vintage Crushers. And then they'll come back on September the 21st and host Casa Grande for homecoming. We'll be broadcasting that ball game, homecoming on September 21st. Well, next week for Bellarmine, it's a bye week. And so they will be off until the following week when they will play Archbishop Reardon. That's right. Week after next, Napa plays Archbishop Reardon tomorrow, and Bellarmine plays them then the following Friday.
Well, they can compare notes on how they liked it up here at the new stadium, you know?
That's right. I know Bellarmine really likes the stadium. Talking to their coach, just a great guy, Mike Janda, in his 35th year as the head football coach for the Bells. And all right, let's see what they do. They have double wing formation, and they look kind of a draw to the center, and he drives it inside the 20 down to the 15-yard line. That was one of their very interesting plays.
Well, I was just a little wraparound to the fullback. Look, they fake the pitch to the wing back, and then he comes back around. It's almost like a little Statue of Liberty, but then he tucks it back in the fullback's.
And that was a lineman, I think.
No, that was a fullback, was number it? 35. Yep, number 35, Reese Burrell. Yeah. Who just stayed right there.
Yeah, we have first down. And they go right side as Henry carries and is tripped up outside the 10-yard line. Getting down deep now in Vintage territory.
Colton Fisher coming back in for that Vintage defensive line.
And coming to the sideline is Montanez. So we're just 1 minute into the fourth quarter. Vintage leading Bellarmine 26-7. Bellarmine threatening here now with the ball at the 11-yard line of Vintage. Mingrone, the quarterback's going to run with the ball. He gets inside the 10, down to the 5. He tries to leap over one player, and he's brought down just inside the 5-yard line. That's going to be a first down and goal to go for Bellarmine.
I think when Coach Leach reviews his tape, he's going to look at basically the perimeter guys, just the really weak on the tackling right now, Ira. Vintage needs to do a much better job at wrapping up and keeping that hold on the tackle and not letting him go.
It's right there at the 4-yard line where it's first and goal, heading into that south end zone. Still have plenty of time to go with 10 and a half minutes to go. Let's see what the Crozier defense can do as Mingrone, the quarterback. He follows Henry's block, and then he is driven back as he gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, big Colton Fisher in there, just not letting him go anywhere.
Zach Daniels also getting his shoulder in for the stop.
Colton Fisher's having his way on that line of scrimmage, Ira. They just cannot stop him from that defensive tackle spot.
So it was at the 4-yard line. He lost a yard, so it puts the ball back at about the 5-yard line. We're inside of 10 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. As they have a wing formation to the left. And they'll run to the left, and Henry carries, and he is tripped up and lunges forward. Gets about 2 or 3 yards on that lunge, though, and is shy of a goal line by a couple of yards. That'll bring up third down, goal to go. See where they put the ball down. It's down at that, right at the 3-yard line.
This will be the 11th play of the drive coming up for Bellarmine. They're moving the ball efficiently, but they need to have a little more sense of urgency down by 19.
And they have Mingrone bringing him up to the line from the 3-yard line. Equal distance between the hash marks out there. He's under center this time. And he fakes the pitch. He's back to pass. Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! Good play there with Ben Richards on the receiving end of the pass. And they get their second touchdown of the night on a good fake there by Mingrone.
Yeah, play action. Fakes to the wing back. Fakes to the fullback. And then the tight end on the right was just doing a little drag and his little man-to-man offer coverage, and Cutter Lowe just let him go and freed him up. And good pass, good catch, touchdown, Bellarmine.
So now the extra point attempt by Andrew Schaefer. It'll be out of the hold of Mingrone. Snap, low snap, placement, and the kick goes up, and it's good anyway. 8:45 to go. Fourth quarter, score. Vintage Crushers of Napa 26, Bellarmine Bells from San Jose 14. Back after this.
So that touchdown drive for Bellarmine, 82 yards and 11 plays. They took 5 minutes and 7 seconds off the clock, and now there's only 8:45 to go in the third quarter or fourth quarter, so they'll need a big defensive stop if they're going to get back into this.
Dino, both Vintage and Bellarmine has come out and scored on each of their possessions here in the second half.
Yep. Vintage is expecting an onside kick now as they have nobody really deep here on this kick by Schaefer. And he boots it way back there, and that'll kick into the end zone, so it doesn't matter anyway. It would have come back even if you had someone back here to field the ball. It would be brought back out to the 20-yard line. So the Crushers get the ball back now, heading from that south end zone. They'll have the wind to their back.
Coach Leach back on the field now, Ira.
Left the booth, which is right next to our broadcast booth. We're here on the west side of the field. If you're familiar with Memorial Stadium, you know that's the Vintage side of the field. And we look across there and see the Navy seats of Napa High. Well, we get set for Vintage now, and Weber comes out to the left side. He had a good play in the last sequence, and he goes in motion, but the quarterback keeps the ball and spins his way across the 20 for about a yard. Nothing really opened up that time for Jacob Aaron. He had a little fake there, and then on the fake handoff to Weber going around.
Coach Leach mixing it up with different formations, different packages, multiple substitutions.
Second down and 9 yards to go. Jacob Aaron working from the shotgun formation this time. And he hands off, and nothing opened up there. Just a straight handoff, and tried to do a little bit of a trap there at the line and just got stop for no gain on the play. May have lost that yard that they had picked up earlier.
And right now, Ira, Bellarmine's defensive line is winning the battle up front.
There goes Bruce McCall out there again. May have been another Charlie horse. One of the Crusher players. And Bruce McCall, he's on it. Boy, he's had a busy night.
Yeah.
Working on the sideline with Shamko. And at least you feel comfortable knowing that Bruce knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah, he sure does. There's no doubt about it.
And he's going to make sure that the kids are okay.
You know, Ira, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Third and call it a long, long nine and a half, what Vintage can come up with, because momentum definitely is on Bellarmine as they went down and scored that last time. They could hold Vintage here and force Vintage to punt. They have time to get some more points on the board.
Oh, yeah. They're just down by a dozen.
Looks like Hatfield.
Yeah, Hatfield. He's coming off. He's hobbling a little bit, but he's coming off the field under his own power. So the ball was placed back at the 21-yard line, so no gain on that last play. They gained a yard on the previous play by the quarterback. So this is a third down possession type play. Back deep in their own territory at the 21-yard line. A pass situation. Let's see if Jacob Aaron goes to the airways as he has man in motion, and he drops back to pass, looks, and the pass is dropped. It would have been for a loss anyway had that been complete, and they had good coverage around Bryce Aide.
Well, Bellarmine's come out and done their job with this defensive scheme and stopped Vintage here on downs, forcing Vintage to turn the ball over. They're going to be forced to punt here. Ira, and Bellarmine can get the ball back with 7.5 to go.
Plenty of time for Bellarmine to come back with a couple scores. So Eddie Chavez will be dropping back inside the 15-yard line. May get back as far as the 10. Quickly, Dylan Cook comes onto the field. You know, in that JV game, I thought Dylan Smith, just a freshman, was outstanding on that JV roster. They put a rush on, and Chavez gets the boot away, and it comes to midfield. Takes a Vintage roll inside the 45, still rolling down to the 41-yard line, and it'll be downed at that point by Harrison Barrett.
38 yards on that punt.
38 yards, no return, and now the Vintage defense being called on. And, of course, Bellarmine wanting to get a score, a touchdown in there, and get back within one other score of taking the lead in this game. Leach sending Dane Contreras in on the defense. Over a cornerback on the left side.
Bellarmine still coming out in that tight cockpock formation, and they have been all second half they've been in this formation.
Yeah, they switched the wingbacks. One going to the left was on the right side. Now the one on the right drops back. The quarterback hands off. They get the ball over to Luke Splain, and Splain gets across the 45, and a host of tacklers are to greet him, including Angel Castillo.
Again, you can see Coach Leach on the side. He's just really upset with the tackling. They had him stopped at the line of scrimmage.
And he gets 5 yards.
Let him go, and they got 5 yards.
Second down and five to go. We're inside of 7 minutes remaining. 26-14. Vinnie's holding on to the lead. And the give is to Henry. Henry tries to sweep out, and he's brought down from behind on a nice tackle by Zach Daniels.
Yeah, Zach Daniels just chased him down from that defensive nose spot. Good job, Zach.
So it's placed down at the 47-yard line, still in Bell's territory. They have to get to the Vintage 49-yard line for a first down. The clock is becoming an ally for the Crashers now, as we're inside of 6.5 minutes to go, but still plenty of time for Bellarmine. This is a third down play. The quarterback is going to pass, fires the ball, and it is caught for a first down. A stop and drop and hold on to the ball there for Anthony Magri.
Yeah, and Magri made a nice deep route. There's a flag on the other side.
We haven't seen many flags tonight, which is interesting for this still early in the season. Ineligible receiver downfield.
Boy, that's a big call right there.
Yeah, that wild. Because they had the first down, and they were getting into Crusher territory.
Yeah, that ball was thrown before the receiver broke his out pattern. It was a nice timing play.
Yeah.
Good ball, good catch, just negated by the penalty.
That's only the third penalty of the game against the Bellarmine Bells.
Yeah.
But it's a Crusher.
It's a big one. Takes the ball back to their own 42-yard line. Still third down. They have to get to beyond the 49-yard line of the Crushers, and inside of 6 minutes to go now here in the fourth quarter. Izon Henry is the setback right beside the quarterback, and he fakes a handoff, play action, back to pass, sits, fires a long one down the right sideline, and it is caught, but let's see if he was inbound.
He was, Ira, no doubt about it.
Oh, wow, what a great over-the-shoulder catch by Anthony Magri.
I just don't understand why the defenders let him go. I mean, they had him, and then they just let him go by him. Literally let him go by him.
And a well-thrown ball.
34 yards on that play.
Again, you know, the Vintage secondary on the perimeter is very suspect, Ira. They have been all season. They haven't tightened that up yet. They haven't as far as pass defending and tackling skills.
Well, Bellarmine is definitely getting the momentum now. With 5.5 minutes to go, they have plenty of time to score and get the football back. It's a first down at the Vintage 24-yard line. Mingrone, the quarterback, puts wingman in motion and drops the football. The Crashers try to dive in there. Let's see if they were successful in getting possession. Dino thinks they did.
Apparently, the referee is signaling that the ball stays with Bellarmine. I saw a Crusher fall right down on it, but it must have got away from him, Kent.
Yeah, it looked for a moment like Jesus Galvin had been able to get in there to get the ball.
I think Galvin fell on it and might have squirted out from underneath him there.
Yeah. Anyway, he pounded his fist when he got up from the turf out there. So the ball is back at the 25-yard line. They lost a yard on the play. 4:45, clock becoming a factor now. Double wides out each side. Henry, the only setback there by the quarterback, and Mingrone's going back to pass again. In the pocket, throws towards the end zone, incomplete. That was just a post pattern that was well off the mark as intended for Anthony Magri. So it will be third down.
Mingron is now 8 out of 19 for 77 yards and one touchdown.
The Crusher defense sensing perhaps another pass situation as Mingron looks to pass. No, he hands off then to Henry. Henry breaks a tackle at the 20. He gets inside at the 15, picks up a first down, and he dives down to about the 12-yard line.
Yeah, great little play call. Nice draw there.
And nicely moved by Izon Henry. 4:20 to go. Bellarmine has two timeouts remaining. Vintage has two timeouts remaining. So the, as we mentioned, the clock can be a factor here as Mingron from the shotgun hands it off again to Henry. Henry tries to sweep outside, and he's brought down after about a 2-yard gain by Bryce Aide, 5'11 junior.
Yep, Bittner chased him down from behind. Much better pursuit there by the Vintage defense, who's up 26-14 with 3.5 to go, Ira. They'd like to keep Bellarmine out of the end zone here.
Well, they're down there at the 10-yard line. Second down. They have to get down to the 3-yard line for a first down. Clock continued to move inside of 3.5 minutes to go now. Mingron, who takes the snap, drops back to pass again, looks into the end zone, passes, intercepted in the end zone by Castillo. Castillo out to 20, 25. He gets to the 40. He's to midfield. Castillo down the sideline at the 35. Gets a block at the 30. Down to the 25. And hit from behind and dropped there by Andrew Packard.
That was Michael Weber on that pick, Ira. What? Number 19, Michael Weber there, did a great job. Just that ball was thrown right to him, and he just made the pick and made a nice run back.
Well, what a game he's having here in this second half.
He's up and down. That guy gives me gray hairs. He did an exceptional play there. Exceptional.
All right, well, we will, in fact, the Crusher's taking position at the Bell's 24-yard line. Jacob Aaron, the quarterback, is going to work from a shotgun formation. Has a guard going in motion. He tries to just run straight ahead with that line blocking for him. What they're doing now is burning the clock.
Absolutely, and they got their power formation in. Zach Daniels there in the backfield, the lead block. Eid coming in right now.
That is the ball is placed down at the 23-yard line. The clock is the factor now with 2.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, 26-14. Vintage with the ball now and the lead. They have it down at the Bellarmine 22-yard line. And the quarterback drops the ball. He was run into by his own player, and the ball is recovered by Bellarmine.
Yeah, Hatfield and Jacob Aaron just miscommunication in the backfield.
And ran into each other. And
caused the fumble. Hatfield caused the fumble on his own quarterback.
Yeah.
Big turnover, Ira.
Well, that stopped the Crushers from scoring, but that puts the pressure now on the Vintage defense. 2:15 remaining. And Bellarmine needs to score twice. They are down by a dozen points now. And their quarterback, Mingron, is showing that he can put the ball in the air for quite a distance, operating from the shotgun formation, using two wideouts either side now as he drops back to pass, fires down the middle, and it's intercepted by the Crushers. That time it was Cutter Lowe who moved in for the interception.
Cutter Lowe just playing center field. Ball was overthrown just a little bit. Held his ground, just made a nice little baseball slide catch. Vintage getting the ball right back.
Out at the 44-yard line. So the Crushers get it right back after the their turnover. They return the favor and get a turnover on the interception. 2:09 to go. 26-14, the score remains. Vintage with the football. And Troy Gizletta brings the play in from the sideline. Gizletta at the quarterback slot now for the Vintage Crushers. And Gizletta hands off to the second man, Hatfield. Hatfield, the 40, and he's hit and dropped at the 37-yard line.
Vintage just wants to run the ball here, maintain possession. No turnovers, no fumbles.
Looks like Bellarmine's used one of their two remaining timeouts.
They have one timeout remaining. Crushers with two, but they're not concerned about using them right now. Well, football tomorrow night will be on the air at least by 6:45. Might be on a bit earlier, depending on the length of the JV game. It will be the Crusaders from Archbishop Reardon in San Francisco coming in to do battle with the Napa High football team. Napa is 0-3, and the Crusaders are 0-2. They're from that Central Coast section and the very tough West Catholic Athletic League, the WCAL. Eight teams in the league, a very strong league. Back in 2015, Bellarmine went for a state championship. In the semifinals, they defeated a very fine Folsom team, and that gave them a shot at the state championship where they lost to Sarah. So the Crushers keep Gizletta in there at quarterback. And on the counter, hands off again to Hatfield, this time going to the left side and stopped at the 35-yard line. And Bellarmine spends their final timeout. So the Crushers leading 26-14, and Bellarmine will be without timeouts now, so they are looking to get possession. And this is third down coming for Vintage, but definitely in four-down territory.
Absolutely. There are no reason to have to punt the ball. They can just let the clock run a little bit after this as well. They just need a couple yards for a first down. Get the first down, this game's completely over.
You know, the Crushers have a very tough preseason schedule prior to their league action, which will be their next game. Vintage with a bye next week. But then they'll be back against Sonoma Valley. And going into tonight's action, Sonoma Valley hasn't won. In fact, they haven't scored many points either in the thing. The Sonoma Valley had scored just 7 points in their first three games. Crushers come up to the line. Gizletta on the option. He keeps, and he is stopped inside the 35-yard line, just shy of a first down. It's only about a half a yard shy. So that's fourth down, and obviously the Crushers are going to go for it. Gizletta looks over to the sideline. Dylan Leach giving him a...
I think Vinny's going to let the clock run down, then burn a timeout at the right before the...
Yeah, that's and, of course, Bellarmine cannot stop the clock now. They are out of timeouts. Vintage with two timeouts remaining. And that's what the Crushers are doing. And now they take their timeout with a minute and 7 remaining. It's a bye week next week for Vintage and a bye week next week for Bellarmine. Last year, Bellarmine finished 4-7 overall. So they did make it into playoff because they have such a tough league. Vintage was 7-3 last year. That included getting into the playoffs, but losing in the first round. So next week starts the Vine Valley Athletic League. The teams that had the best record coming into tonight, Justin Sin and Petaluma, each 2-1. Vinny's was 1-2. And the other four teams, all 0-3. Sonoma Valley, Casa Grande of Petaluma, American Canyon, and Napa. So it could be a competitive league.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, brand new league for all of us. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We kind of had, you know, Vintage and American Canyon kind of tagged as maybe the top two, not knowing a whole lot about Petaluma and Casa Grande.
Here's Gazzaletta, and he gets him offside. That'll be a first down for the Crashers. He was able to draw the defense offside on that cadence. Of course, it's a different cadence. They've been hearing Jacob Aaron's cadence throughout the game. Now, this time, they were listening to Troy Gazzaletta's cadence, and he was able to draw him offside, and that should be the ball game now.
Yep.
As that will give the Crushers a first down inside the 30-yard line at the 29-yard line.
Crushers in victory formation here.
Yeah, a minute seven to go. And Gazzaletta just takes a knee. There is the ball is snapped. And they'll need another snap of the ball, but the Crushers will let the clock run down. 26 to 14.
And that last, that kneel down by Gazzaletta was only the second negative yardage play for the Crushers in this game. Everything else was positive yardage except for a few incomplete passes.
Well, Vintage is going to go to 2-2 against them in a very tough competition. Bellarmine will slip to 1-2. Crushers snap the ball, take the knee, and that'll run down the clock. They don't have to take another snap. The officials move in and actually pick up the football, even though there are 20-some seconds remaining in the game as far as the scoreboard clock. But Coach Leach, I'm sure, has a smile on his face as he is going out there now talking to his players, and the players are going to exchange handshakes with the Bellarmine College Prep Bells out of San Jose.
Well, it's a big victory for Vintage, Ira. You know, and we've seen improvement. We've seen them a couple times now. We've seen them definitely improvement. Still need to button up a few things on the defense and, you know, on the perimeter game and tackling skills. That's Coach Leach, that's what he'll look at when he sees films. He's going to, his most blatant thing he'll look at is tackling. We're still not making initial tackling where we should. So that otherwise, you know, Vintage is improving. Coach Leach is happy with a big W here, no doubt. But they still got some things to work on, as especially coming into league now.
We'll be back with our wrap-up of tonight's game and our selection as players of the game in a moment as our final score here at Memorial Stadium. The Vintage Crushers of Napa 26 and the Bellarmine Prep Bells from San Jose 14. Back after this. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Also, Kent, we archive the ball games, so if you're interested in one of the earlier broadcasts we had, go to kvon.com and follow the prompts to the ball game of your interest. In fact, we go back through last football season.
Absolutely. There's, you know, there's a lot of parents and grandparents who like to hear their names mentioned, their sons and grandsons mentioned, names mentioned on the radio. So that's really nice that we do that.
Well, Vintage now has a two-game winning streak going.
Absolutely, Aaron. That's big after starting out with two losses. And, you know, that Alcalanos loss was very, very tough and could have been a victory. You know, I think what Coach Leach is going to take away from this is, you know, Dino, you said it earlier tonight that Lincoln, you know, they were up comfortably at Lincoln, and then in the second half, they just can't close the game. And tonight was another example of Vintage not really coming out and closing the game in the second half. So that's something that Coach Leach and his staff are going to want to address, you know, how to come out and finish a ball game and put that opponent away. It's very important, especially coming into the league right now.
Well, it was a clean sweep this week as far as Vintage football, as the freshmen last night went to the new stadium in Vacaville at Wilsey Wood High School and came back with a 35-22 victory. Then the JVs tonight shut out Bellarmine 36-0, and then with the Vintage varsity victory, that makes it 3-0 for the football program at Vintage for this week. Let's look at the tonight's statistics on the ball game as we check with Dino Alessio.
So at halftime, the score was Vintage 12, Bellarmine 0. In the third quarter, it was the Crushers scoring, Hatfield taking the ball in from about 7.5 yards out. Chavez added the point after. That capped off an 81 yard six play drive that took 3:03 off the clock, and the Crushers led 19-0. And for a quick moment there, I thought maybe we were on our way to a rout, Kent, but then it was Bellarmine getting the ball and Henry, the tailback, taking the ball. He'd been pretty much held in check up until that point, but he took the ball coast to coast, 80 yards for a touchdown, took just 18 seconds. The kick was good, and it was 19-7. Then Vintage did bounce back. Michael Weber running the ball in from 5 yards out with 2:01 to go in the third quarter. Chavez added the point after. That was an 80-yard drive that took 6 plays, and that made it 26-7. Then finally it was Bellarmine scoring. Richards, the tight end, catching a 3-yard pass from Mingrone. That capped off an 11-play, 82-yard drive that took over 5 minutes off the clock. And at that point, with the remaining time, Bellarmine would have had to have been almost perfect. They needed 2 more scores. They needed to stop Vintage. They did get the ball once more deep into Vintage territory, but the clutch interception at the goal line by Weber and then a terrific return deep into Bellarmine territory really put the ball game away. Looking at the individual numbers, for the visitors, the Bellarmine Bells from Bellarmine College Prep of San Jose, it was Izon Henry, who had 129 yards on 15 carries, although 80 of those all came on one play. He was held in check for a lot of the game, but did pick up 129 yards. It was actually the leading rusher for either team. Mingrone, the quarterback, ran 11 times for 24 yards. That included a couple times that he was sacked. Let's see. And altogether for Bellarmine, they had what probably would be considered a decent game running the ball. 30 rushing attempts, 191 yards, and well over 100 yards in the second half alone. Mingrone passing completed 8 of 21 for 77 yards, 2 interceptions late in the game, 1 touchdown pass for the Bellarmine Bells, 51 offensive plays, 268 net yards of offense. For the Crushers of Vintage High School, the Victors, they had a lot of different players carried the ball. 8 different players had rushing attempts. The leading ball carrier was Hatfield with 74 yards on 13 carries. Vilami Shomkel had 73 yards on 8 carries. Aaron had 53 yards on 11 carries. Galvin had 25 yards on 5 carries. Castro had 9 yards on 2 carries. Ede had 1 carry for 1 yard. And Gizletta had 3 carries for a net negative 1 as he took a knee on the last couple plays of the game. Aaron passing was sharp, 6 out of 13, 95 yards, 1 interception, 1 touchdown. Weber was the leading receiver with 3 catches for 60 yards, including 1 touchdown of 26. Robert and Hatfield each caught a ball. And for the Crushers, 60 offensive plays, 354 yards net of total offense. Team numbers for Bellarmine, they ended up with 10 first downs, 6 rushing, 3 on pass plays, 1 on a penalty. The Vintage Crushers had 17 first downs, 14 rushing, 2 on pass plays, 1 on a penalty. Bellarmine was only 1 of 7 on third downs, and that hurt them. Vintage was 2 of 7 on third downs. Vintage did convert 1 fourth down. And Bellarmine converted 2 fourth-down tries. Bellarmine had 4 fumbles, but only lost 1 of them. They did have the 2 interceptions, so they had 3 turnovers. Vintage had 3 fumbles and lost 2 of them, and they had 1 interception, so they had 3 turnovers. Bellarmine was penalized only 4 times for a total of 16 yards. Vintage just 5 times for a total of 45 yards. Quite an interesting game statistically, as Bellarmine was able to do a lot of coming back in that second half, but didn't sort of ran out of time, and Vintage did a good job.
I guess all wins are good wins, but
especially the way that the Crushers, after losing the first two and now putting things together, improving each week.
They are, Ira, no doubt about it. I know Coach Leach is extremely happy with, you know, going from this level and improving to the next level. And obviously still some things that have to be worked on, you know, as league is coming up. They have a bye, so that's going to help dramatically get rested up, get healed up for all those with the nicks and bruises and so forth. Or as Coach Leach is worried about the cramps, you know, there's no reason for that, obviously. But they are improving. They still need to work on, you know, I'm going to be real nitpicky here. They really need to work on their tackling skills. That hasn't improved that much, especially on the perimeter. They let these backs get, you know, they make initial contact to line of scrimmage, and they're letting them get them 5-6 yards beyond that. So they need to do better at tackling. But overall, Vintage is improving. We've seen that. We've seen that in two times now. It's a good feeling, and it is a good win. This is an excellent win against a great program. You know, Bellarmine, long history of a solid program. So, you know, we'll take this win all day long.
Well, we got a final in on that Justin Siena game as the Braves defeated Hercules 39-8 to go 3-1. So Justin could be a factor.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, not a big school, but doing a good job there and winning their third game against one loss. So they'll be at Casa Grande next week.
That'll be a big test for them right there. Yeah, on the road.
Yeah. And, of course, tomorrow night we have that Napa High football game against San Francisco Reardon High School. And we'll be on there at least by 6:45. Could come on as early as 6:30, depending on the length of that JV action. 49ers play at Minnesota then on Sunday, and Monday night football includes the Oakland Raiders hosting the L.A. Rams, and we'll have that broadcast on KVON. 7:20 is supposed to be kickoff time, I think, for that. All right, well, let's select our players of the game here. First of all, you want to take a look at the visitors from Bellarmine? How about you, Kent? You want to start it out?
Well, I really liked, you know, Mingrón, you know, the quarterback. I thought he did a great job. He's a senior. He held his composure back there, ran the ball. You know, just was leading that team. He was in command all the way. He had a few bad throws there, but all in all, I thought he was excellent. The running back, Pinelli did well as well, but I like Mingrón.
Yeah, I-Zone did a pretty good job, too. Dino.
I'm going to go with Mingrón, too. I thought he did a really good job, particularly considering that he wasn't getting a lot of time to throw the ball. The pass rush and the defensive front played very well for the Crushers, particularly in the first half. And Mingrón, I mean, there were times he was dropping back to pass and had tacklers reaching for him almost immediately. So I thought he did a good job, as Kent said, keeping his composure. And, you know, he almost had a chance to pull the game out in the fourth quarter. What might have happened if he had been able to connect for that touchdown with about 3 minutes to go would have made it a 6-point or 5-point game.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad we didn't find out what would have happened.
Well, yeah, I agree that he had a heck of a game. But I'm going to go with Izon Henry. He was filling in for Tyson Garcia. So Henry didn't get to play much earlier this season. And when you have your best player injured and not available, number 10, Tyson Garcia, we did not see tonight. And credit Izon Henry with coming in and doing a nice job in filling
right
in that slot.
Yep.
And he was all over the field. He was a slot back. He was a running back, wing back, you name it, and he was out there on that. Now let's look at the Vintage Crusher roster and find out first. Dino, we'll let you pick first on that.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with Aaron because I thought his passing improved significantly from the last game that I saw. I think he only completed one pass in that game against Akalanis, and tonight he looked a little better. He still had a couple throws he hung up there a little bit where a good sharp direct throw might have made the connection, but I thought he did improve. He picked up 53 yards on some 11 tough carries. He passed for 95 yards, and so I'm gonna give him my vote.
And Kent?
Well, Ira, I think I know who you're going to take. But,
I know who Kent's going to take.
Well, that number 19 can drive me up a wall. He
I
really can. Michael Weber can drive me up a wall because I see some excellent plays out of him.
Oh, that
I really
catch
do.
He made, that was
he made
the catch
great
of the
catch,
year.
And then he runs the wildcat formation. But I've seen him miss some tackles and make some bonehead plays at the same time. And the reason I'm picking on him, he's a receiver. I obviously got to pick on
him. Yeah,
receiver,
that's right. You were a receiver, and you're a receiver coach.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that kid, and at the same time, that's why I want to just grab him sometimes, you know. But he's a great player.
And he had the big interception.
But I'm gonna tell you what. Yep. I'm gonna go with Michael tonight as my player of the game. But the guy who really impresses me, you guys need to start watching him as much as you can. Big number 73, Colton Fisher, is a stud on that line. He just takes control. I really like that D line.
Zach Daniels,
Colton Fisher. You got Castillo in there. Oh man, I'm telling you, there's some players on that defensive front.
You
They're
know, I
really
think
good.
I want to retract my vote. I've decided I want to give my vote to the front four for a vintage because they were just awesome tonight.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they helped out. Okay, you think you know who I'm going to take then?
Well, you'll change it up after you're hearing ours.
So no, I'm going to take Drew Hatfield. I thought that his play out there was very solid and that he did a nice job as the cornerback and made some really good runs. One run up the middle I thought was excellent. Just he ran low to the ground and just did a nice job for him. So I'm going to go with Drew Hatfield.
74 yards rushing and one touchdown for him and one cramp.
Yeah, that's something that the coach is going to...
Yeah, they're not liking that.
No. Okay, well, Kent, best wishes tomorrow night as you have an assignment, and that is to introduce Justin Dragoo to get inducted into the Vintage Athletic Hall of Fame.
It's going to be fun, and I'm looking down here right now at John Connor talking with Paul Schreiner, and I see Paul Kieser down there, and... I see.
You know, it's nice that you can still recognize them after all these years.
I see Tony Flores down there, you know, all the old guard. And so, it's going to be a great evening. I look forward to presenting Justin Dragoo and seeing all the other inductees as well. Going to be a lot of fun.
And we'll just have to muddle through with Troy.
I tell you, just
explaining the place.
You're going to have to stay on Troy, no doubt about it.
He does a great job. So, we will be back here at Memorial Stadium tomorrow night. The Napa High football against Archbishop Reardon of San Francisco, and that'll be on the air at least by 6:45, maybe 6:30 tomorrow night. Let me pass along some of these earlier scores in case you missed them. The Justin Santa JVs were victorious 35-0 over Hercules, and the varsity improved to 3-1 with a 39-8 victory, while the Vintage freshman last night defeated Will C. Wood there in Vacaville 35-22, and the JVs tonight shut out Bellarmine 36-0. And our thanks to our engineer, Angelo Lyons, who last year was helping us out at KVON, and now he's on the staff.
That's right. Great job, Angelo, again. Looking a doubleheader for us tonight.
Dino Alessio with his statistics and Kent Fry with his commentary. And I'm Ira C. Smith on behalf of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. They're the ones that make all of this possible, including tomorrow night when we'll be on the air once again. It's Athletic Hall of Fame night for the Vintage Crushers, and it's a victory for Coach Dylan Leach, his players, and his staff. Final score here at Memorial Stadium, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 26 and the Bellarmine College Prep Bells of San Jose 14. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.